among which social and economic exclusion. Mr. President, Brazil reiterates its commitment to a multidimensional response to the challenges posed by terrorism and their possible circumstantial linkages to transnational organized crime. We remain convinced that we will only succeed if we join efforts on the basis of shared values and enhanced multilateral cooperation. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant du Brésil pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de la République arabe syrienne.
شكراً سيد الرئيس. أتوجه إليكم ولبلدكم الصديق تشاد بالتهنئة على توليكم رئاسة مجلس الأمن لهذا الشهر. وأشكركم على عقد هذا الاجتماع الهام برئاسة السيد وزير خارجيتكم. كما أغتنم هذه الفرصة لأتقدم بالتعازي لحكومة وشعب باكستان ولذوي ضحايا العمل الإرهابي الآثم الذي أودى بأرواح 141 طالباً وإصابة العشرات غيرهم مؤخراً. إن هذه الأعمال الإرهابية توضح طبيعة الفكر الظلامي الاستئصالي الذي تنتهجه التنظيمات الإرهابية المرتبطة بالقاعدة من داعش وجبهة النصرة إلى بوكو حرام فطالبان وحركة تركستان الشرقية وإمارة القوقاز وأنصار الشريعة وحركة الشباب وكثر غيرها للأسف، لكنها في الوقت نفسه تزيدنا قوة وتصميما على بذل المزيد من الجهود الجادة للقضاء على آفة الإرهاب. السيد الرئيس، إن التهديدات التي يتعرض لها السلم والأمن الدوليين جراء الأعمال الإرهابية والجريمة المنظمة العابرة للحدود ما كان لها أن تبلغ هذه الدرجة من الخطورة لو أن التنظيمات الإرهابية لم ترتبط مصلحياً وعضوياً بحكومات دول أعضاء في هذه المنظمة الدولية. اختارت الإرهاب نهجاً وأداة لسياستها الخارجية، الأمر الذي يستدعي من الدول الأعضاء في الأمم المتحدة فرادى ومجتمعة ومن الهيئات المعنية في هذه المنظمة وخارجها الخروج من تشرنقها السياسي القصير النظر وتكثيف مساعيها وزيادة التعاون الدولي والإقليمي لمكافحة الإرهاب والجريمة ورعاتهما. السيد الرئيس، تشير الورقة المفاهيمية التي قمتم مشكورين بإعدادها تشير إلى أنه، وأقتبس، لقد شهدت سوريا في ظل الأزمة الراهنة نمواً لاقتصاد الحرب القائم على الإتجار بالأشخاص والأسلحة والمخدرات واحتجاز الرهائن من أجل الحصول على فدا ومصادرة حقول النفط، وإن ما تدره هذه الأعمال قد دفع بعض الجماعات المسلحة إلى إطالة أمد النزاع وجعل من هؤلاء أكثر ثروة، الأمر الذي يحد من القدرة على التأثير عليهم وتشجيعهم للانخراط في محادثات سلام. انتهى الاقتباس. وعلى الرغم من أهمية هذا الرأي السيد الرئيس، فإن هذه الورقة كما الكثير من حكومات الدول الأعضاء في هذا المجلس وخارجه قد تجاهلت حقيقة ساطعة تتمثل في أن هذه النتائج لم تأتي من فراغ، وإنما ترتبت عن سياسات وممارسات حكومات بعض الدول التي عملت على تأجيج الأزمة السورية وإطالة أمدها من خلال تقديمها الدعم بأشكاله المختلفة للتنظيمات الإرهابية المسلحة والسعي لتقويض الدولة السورية ومؤسساتها باستخدام الإرهاب كسلاح سياسي وعرقلة الحل السياسي السلمي القائم على الحوار الوطني الشامل بين السوريين بقيادة سورية. السيد الرئيس، لقد نقلنا إلى مجلسكم الموقر هذا مراراً وتكراراً ما تقوم به التنظيمات الإرهابية التي تنشط في سوريا، وفي مقدمتها داعش وجبهة النصرة. من أعمال الاستخراج والإتجار بالثروات النفطية العائدة للجمهورية العربية السورية والعراق الشقيق، وسرقة الآثار التي تمثل تراثاً مشتركاً للإنسانية، وتهريبها وبيعها خارج البلاد، وتفكيك مئات المعامل والمصانع التي تمثل أحد أعمدة الاقتصاد السوري ونقلها إلى الأراضي التركية، وخطف واحتجاز الرهائن، وسبي وبيع النساء والأطفال في سوق النخاسة، وجرائم أخرى يندى لها ضمير الإنسانية. فماذا كان رد مجلس الأمن الموقر هذا؟ لقد حالت دول ثلاث دائمة العضوية في هذا المجلس على مدى سنوات، وقبل تفاقم الخطر واستفحاله واستفحال التهديد، حالت دون اتخاذ الأمم المتحدة أي خطوات عملية للتصدي لظاهرة الإرهاب التي تجتاح سوريا والشرق الأوسط والعالم. واقتصر موقف هذه الدول وغيرها على مدى ثلاث سنوات الأولى من الأزمة على إدانات خجولة. لا بل إن الاتحاد الأوروبي أتاح في نيسان أبريل 2013 شراء النفط السوري المسروق، مما أسماه المناطق التي تسيطر عليها المعارضة، هكذا قال الاتحاد الأوروبي، في انتهاك سافر للقانون الدولي الذي تتشدق به بعض دول هذا الاتحاد، وسرقة موصوفة لمصادر قوت الشعب السوري نلمس آثارها بشكل يومي. وها هو الاتحاد الأوروبي مجدداً يفرض مؤخراً عقوبة منع تزويد الطيران المدني السوري بالوقود اللازم له، وذلك في سلوك غير مسؤول وغير قانوني يخالف قرارات المنظمة الدولية للطيران المدني، وذلك بدلاً من أن يعمل على ضبط الآثار السورية المنهوبة المهربة إلى أوروبا عبر تركيا. ولعل معظمكم قرأ قبل أيام ما ذكره نائب المدير السابق للشرطة الأوروبية يوروبول وقائد الشرطة الاتحادية البلجيكية لصحيفة التايمز البريطانية، من أن وأقتبس تجار آثار في الغرب يتعاملون الآن مباشرة مع داعش، بعدما كانوا في السابق يستخدمون وسطاء لشراء آثار وأعمال فنية منهوبة من الشرق الأوسط. انتهى الاقتباس. هذا كلام الرئيس السابق للشرطة الأوروبية اليوروبول. سيد الرئيس، لقد مثل اعتماد المجلس بتاريخ 28/7/2014 لمشروع البيان الرئاسي الذي تقدم به وفد روسيا الاتحادية مشكوراً، والقاضي بحظر التعامل بالنفط السوري مع داعش وجبهة النصرة، مثل الخطوة الأولى الصحيحة في مضمار مكافحة الإرهاب الذي يمثله هذان التنظيمان وغيرهما من التنظيمات والكيانات والأفراد المرتبطين بالقاعدة. وقد تعززت هذه الخطوة باعتماد المجلس القرارين 2170 و2178، بيد أن التغاضي عما تقوم به حكومات الدول الداعمة للإرهاب في المنطقة وخارجها سيقضي حكماً على أي إمكانية لتحقيق نتائج فعلية في مكافحة الإرهاب والجريمة المنظمة العابرة للحدود. فالنفط والآثار السورية وجدت طريقها إلى مشتريها عبر حدودنا المشتركة مع دول الجوار وخاصة تركيا، في حين تم استقدام المقاتلين الإرهابيين الأجانب وأسلحتهم إلى سوريا عبر ذات الطريق من قبل النظام التركي، وبمعرفة وتواطؤ أجهزة استخبارات ومسؤولين كبار في حكومات الدول الراعية للإرهاب وشركائهم في دول أخرى. وهو الأمر الذي أكدته العديد من التقارير الصادرة عن الأمم المتحدة ذاتها، بما فيها كما تعرفون تقارير فريق الخبراء المعني بليبيا، والذي قدم قرائناً لا تدحض حول تورط هذه الدول في نقل الإرهابيين والسلاح من ليبيا إلى سوريا ومصر ومنطقة الساحل. يجدد وفد بلادي سيد الرئيس مطالبته بقيام مجلس الأمن بإدانة حكومات الدول الداعمة للإرهاب وإلزامها بالكف عن ممارساتها الهدامة ومساءلة أنظمة الحكم فيها وإلزامها باحترام قرارات مجلس الأمن ذات الصلة، لا سيما قرارات مكافحة الإرهاب رقم 2167 و1373 و1624 و1989 و1540 و2133 و2170 و2178، وهي كلها قرارات اعتمدت تحت الفصل السابع كي تلتزم بها الحكومات الراعية للإرهاب في بلادي. سيد الرئيس، سلمنا اليوم لفريق الدعم التحليلي للقرار 1267 قائمة ومعلومات بمنتهى الأهمية حول القتلى الأجانب في سوريا مؤخرا في فترة محدودة فقط، 110 أسماء من الشيشانيين والقوقاز والداغستانيين ومناطق أخرى، سلمناها إلى فريق الدعم التحليلي للقرار 1267 وسنعممها على الدول الأعضاء قريبا جدا. أود أن ألفت عنايتكم أيضا إلى تقرير جدا هام صدر في واشنطن مؤخرا وعنوانه قطر and Terror Finance، مجلدين، تقرير صدر في واشنطن عن دعم السلطات القطرية للإرهاب ليس فقط في سوريا وإنما في العالم بأجمعه. أضع هذه المعلومات في عنايتكم طالما أننا نتحدث عن مكافحة الإرهاب. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Je remercie le représentant de la République arabe syrienne pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de la Colombie.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Al ser esta la primera oportunidad en la que mi delegación se dirige al Consejo de Seguridad durante la presidencia de Chad, le deseo a usted, señor embajador, y a toda su delegación los mayores éxitos. Asimismo, agradezco la organización de este debate abierto y la preparación de la nota conceptual que guía estas discusiones, así como las presentaciones realizadas por los expositores esta mañana. Señor presidente, el Consejo de Seguridad ha venido abordando progresivamente las múltiples manifestaciones de la delincuencia transnacional organizada y en esta oportunidad su relación con el terrorismo, haciendo evidente la complejidad de un tema que no permite generalizaciones descontextualizadas. Si bien es necesario reconocer el potencial del delito transnacional organizado de menoscabar la estabilidad y seguridad de los estados, es igualmente importante destacar que sus manifestaciones y alcances no son uniformes en todo el mundo, pues si bien todos los estados se encuentran afectados de una u otra manera por estas actividades criminales, no en todas las circunstancias estas se constituyen en una amenaza a la paz y a la seguridad internacionales y, por ende, en materia de competencia del Consejo de Seguridad. En este sentido, el Consejo debe evitar la simplificación de un tema que, por su naturaleza, debe ser abordado caso por caso, evitando una aproximación o la adopción de medidas generalizadas que no correspondan a contextos específicos y que no den cuenta de la diversidad de factores que hacen que una situación se constituya en una amenaza a la paz y seguridad internacionales. Señor presidente, como ha sido reconocido en diversas oportunidades, las actividades criminales a las que nos referimos trascienden la dimensión del tráfico fronterizo. Por ello, para erradicarlas se requiere de enfoques y medidas integrales balanceadas y equilibradas que aborden todos los eslabones de estas actividades ilícitas, que reconozcan los derechos y responsabilidades soberanas de los estados y que sean acordes con las obligaciones internacionales aceptadas por los estados, incluyendo aquellas referidas al respeto a los derechos humanos el manejo y explotación de los recursos naturales, los controles fronterizos o las relaciones entre el terrorismo y el secuestro extorsivo. Señor presidente, el delito transnacional organizado y el terrorismo, si bien presentan en algunos casos vínculos específicos, son actividades criminales diferentes entre sí y las medidas para abordarlas ya están reguladas por tratados internacionales especializados que conforman un marco legislativo amplio y que ofrece las herramientas legales para combatirlas. Asimismo, los acuerdos alcanzados en el marco de la Asamblea General recogen conceptos globales ampliamente aceptados al interior de la organización, los cuales facultan el desarrollo de estrategias inclusivas y balanceadas. La organización, en su conjunto, debe concretar sus esfuerzos en brindar la asistencia que puedan necesitar los Estados con el fin de lograr la aplicación integral de las obligaciones que se desprenden de tales acuerdos, fortalecer las capacidades e instituciones nacionales, robustecer los mecanismos efectivos de cooperación, acrecentar la dotación de recursos tecnológicos y financieros, así como el intercambio oportuno de información. Estas son algunas de las razones que conducen a profundizar la colaboración del Consejo de Seguridad con otros órganos del sistema de las Naciones Unidas en torno a un asunto que, por su naturaleza de alcance global, exige la acción concertada y coordinada de los diferentes órganos y entidades del sistema de las Naciones Unidas en desarrollo de los principios de la Carta y en el marco y el respeto de las respectivas responsabilidades y mandatos y con una clara y objetiva división del trabajo. Señor presidente, muchas gracias.
Je remercie le représentant de la Colombie pour sa présentation. Je donne la parole au représentant de l'Allemagne.
Thank you, Mr. President. Germany fully aligns itself with the statement of the European Union. Allow me to make some additional remarks in my national capacity. As we are all aware, there is a dangerous global phenomenon which threatens the very existence of states and human lives, the growing violence spread by international terrorism. In light of the recent activities by terrorist organizations, we welcome Chad's initiative in organizing this thematic debate. Today's resolution aims at fighting the troubling link between terrorism and transnational organized crime, with a particular focus on Africa. Both issues are indeed deeply intertwined. Terrorist groups need money and they need arms. In order to produce these means, they rely heavily on cross-border trafficking. Regional initiatives and enforcement measures remain crucial in order to fight transnational organized crime at the local level and need to be pursued further. In this context, we highly commend ongoing efforts aimed at combating the illicit trade in drugs, a major source of income for terrorist groups. Recently, the West Africa Commission on Drugs presented a cross-border analysis of this problem. The swift implementation of its recommendations remains key. Another important financial factor in the field of transnational organized crime is wildlife trafficking. Wildlife trafficking and poaching are growing at an alarming rate, especially in Africa. Operations are increasingly conducted on a large scale by transnational organized criminal groups, often linked to terrorist organizations. This threat requires an effective, comprehensive, and well-coordinated answer by the international community, encompassing countries of origin, transit, and destination. As co-chair of the Group of Friends on Poaching and Illicit Wildlife Trafficking, Germany continues to actively support efforts aimed at addressing and combating wildlife crime, including through a General Assembly resolution. Mr. President, besides drying out the financial funding of terrorist groups, we also need to cut off their access to weapons. Illicit arms that flow into North Africa and the Sahel in particular pose a great danger, including to our own security. Germany has focused early on capacity building and securing stocks in Libya and Sudan, and is extending its efforts to several other countries in the Sahel region. We support regional arms control cooperation initiatives like the sub-regional arms control mechanism, which includes Sudan, Libya, Chad, the Central African Republic, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Over the past few years, we have dedicated substantial funds to further projects in the region and have increased funding again for 2015. We support corresponding initiatives by the EU. Germany will also pay particular attention to this issue within the framework of its G7 presidency. Overall, Germany remains highly committed to assist African states in their efforts to improve their internal security architecture, Under its Peace and Security in Africa program, the German Foreign Office has funded a variety of projects with a budget of some $200 million over the past 6 years. Among others, these projects were designed to further foster African Union institution building, as well as police capacity building in countries such as Burundi, Mauritania, Niger, Democratic Republic of Congo, Cote d'Ivoire, South Sudan, and Chad. We are convinced that our current and future efforts will contribute to this resolution's purpose of fighting transnational organized crime and terrorism. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Allemagne pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant du Pakistan.
Mr. President, thank you very much for convening this very important debate here in the Security Council. Let me first thank my distinguished colleagues for their words of sympathy and support for Pakistan. Mr. President, this debate comes in the wake of the heinous and horrendous act of terrorism in Peshawar, Pakistan, an act which has been widely condemned by the international community. Pakistan also condemns the perpetrators, facilitators, and abettors of such acts of terrorism, including that of 16th of December in Peshawar. Mr. President, here at the Security Council, let me convey this message loud and clear. We will defeat terrorism. Pakistan will prevail no matter what. Our mourning today will only morph into a stronger resolve to fight back even harder. By killing our children, the terrorists have attacked our heart. I assure you, Mr. President, that Pakistan will go after their jugular. Even during the cowardly act of terrorism on the 16th of December, Mr. President, allow me to share the heroic acts by the teachers, the children, and especially the lady principal of the school, all of whom, instead of trying to save their own lives, chose to stay back and help their peers and the children. This is a testimony which makes me proud. And I'm proud to say that this is my nation, these are my people, and I'm very proud to represent them here at the United Nations. Mr. President, to fight terrorism, Pakistan possesses unyielding resolve. Our mind is very clear. Our policy is on the table, and we continue to execute affirmative action. After all, let me remind everyone that Pakistan continues to spearhead this international war and fight against terrorism. Mr. President, let me now express the views of my delegation on the subject under discussion today. We maintain a clear distinction between cross-border crime and transnational organized crime. We feel that not all transnational organized crimes are cross-border in nature, and all cross-border crimes may not be organized. Nevertheless, we recognize that terrorists can take advantage of the lack of effective border control measures and associated criminal activities. We therefore fully subscribe to the need for effective controls on transnational organized crimes and effective border control mechanisms to prevent development of any linkages with terrorist activities. Mr. President, we also acknowledge the complicated linkage that may exist among terrorism, criminal activity, and effective border controls. We fully share the goals of the international community in successfully addressing them through appropriate national, bilateral, regional, and international measures. Pakistan believes that an effective strategy to achieve these goals must take into account the following points. One, states bear the primary responsibility to strengthen their border controls and take effective measures against terrorism and criminal activities. Two, bilateral, regional, and international cooperation, including sharing of information, is important for achieving the desired goals. Three, strategies need to be tailored to specific challenges presented by peculiar regional dynamics and conditions. And lastly, Mr. President, it is vital to build capacities and capabilities of states facing these challenges. Mr. President, Pakistan is fully aware and responsive to the challenges it faces with regard to counterterrorism and its conceivable linkage with transnational organized crimes. Therefore, effective border control measures continue to remain a major subject of our bilateral cooperation with relevant countries. We have taken a number of initiatives to build regional cooperation in controlling transnational organized crime. Mr. President, Pakistan reaffirms its commitment to counterterrorism in all its forms and manifestations. We will continue to cooperate with the international community in addressing the challenges emanating from the factors and complicate our fight against this scourge, including transnational organized crimes. We believe that international measures taken in this regard must respect national sovereignty and territorial integrity of states and should aim to avoid any duplication of work undertaken by various UN agencies and organizations. The international community already possesses the will, the instruments, and infrastructure to deal with terrorism and transnational organized crime. What is needed, Mr. President, is the effective implementation by the states of the relevant instruments and meaningful cooperation within the UN bodies and agencies working within their specific mandates. To end, Mr. President, allow me to say that Pakistan mourns today, but we will and we shall, inshallah, ensure the total annihilation of terrorists and their twisted ideologies. I thank you, sir.
Je remercie le représentant du Pakistan pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de la Nouvelle-Zélande.
Thank you, Mr. President. New Zealand welcomes the firm resolve expressed by Pakistan in response to the atrocity in Peshawar. And I reiterate the comments of sympathy and support that I expressed to this council 3 days ago in an earlier debate. Mr. President, thanks for convening this debate. It's an important reminder to the Council and to the UN more generally that terrorism doesn't sit in isolation to other threats. In many contexts, terrorism and transnational organized crime are closely linked. Funds provided by criminal enterprises are often the lifeblood for terrorist operations, likewise with the supply of weapons. We've seen this pernicious relationship in West Africa, in Southeast Asia, and elsewhere. To focus solely on terrorist threats at the expense of the wider context in which terrorists operate not only is it outdated, it is downright dangerous. Mr. President, the most effective efforts to counter terrorism are those that are well calibrated to the contours of the particular threat. This debate and the strategic review that's been called for are opportunities to refocus our attention on ensuring full implementation of existing foundational tools on counterterrorism, such as Resolution 1373. Furthermore, we should take this opportunity to ensure that the UN's overall counterterrorism architecture particularly its mechanisms for providing or facilitating assistance, supports that implementation in a way that genuinely responds to contemporary terrorism challenges. Once new trends are identified and new measures are agreed, we've got to monitor implementation, and we must be brutally honest with ourselves in assessing the effectiveness of what we've decided to do. The illicit activities that help fund terrorism differ from country to country and even between regions. So a one-size-fits-all approach simply is never going to be effective. For example, mineral and diamond smuggling have long been at the heart of conflicts in Africa, although recently cocaine trafficking has increasingly played a role. By contrast, as Germany emphasized a short time ago, in Central Africa, cross-border wildlife poaching may be an increasing factor in conflict dynamics. Mr. President, a clear assessment of relevant risks and vulnerabilities is a crucial step in any response, particularly in conflict settings. But those assessments must be ongoing, and as I said earlier, they must be brutally honest. Bilateral and regional coordination and information sharing is also essential, as are integrated national mechanisms for confronting these threats. The UN must play its part in ensuring that relevant entities, not least this Council's subsidiary bodies, take a coordinated and coherent approach to dealing with these challenges. National authorities, in particular police and border control, are at the very front line of addressing terrorist and transnational organized crime. But for many states, the ones most affected by these phenomena, such institutions remain very weak. The international community needs to work bilaterally and through appropriate fora to help strengthen relevant national capabilities. Mr. President, New Zealand welcomes the proposed strategic review. We hope it can shed light on how and in what circumstances responses that address terrorism and transnational organized crime can be mutually reinforcing. And we hope that it will include concrete options that this Council can consider, and we look forward to the opportunity as a future member to doing just that. The review, sir, should be relevant to the UN's efforts across a number of areas, including conflict resolution, and New Zealand will therefore look for connections between this review and others that are currently ongoing, such as those on peacekeeping and peace building.
Je remercie le représentant de la Nouvelle-Zélande pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant d'Israël.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank the Foreign Affairs Minister of Chad for presiding over today's important debate. Before we begin, I would like to say a few words about the recent terrorist attacks in Pakistan and Australia. The cowardly attacks on children in a school and innocent civilians in a coffee shop are a painful reminder that no nation is immune to terrorism. We condemn in the strongest possible term these heinous and senseless act of violence. The thought and prayer of the Israeli people are with the families of the victims in Pakistan and in Australia, and we pray for a speedy recovery for all those who were injured. Mr. President, I want to tell you about a small startup that emerged in our region just a few years ago. Like any new enterprise, it secured funding, recruited talent, and acquired the equipment needed for its day-to-day operations. The venture gained momentum and was able to recruit more people, grow its revenue base, and acquire more sophisticated tools. Like many startups, it turned to social media to amplify its messages and gain greater prominence. This, too, fueled further growth. It soon expanded its portfolio to deal in illicit enterprises, including stealing and selling crude oil, kidnapping, smuggling, and trafficking in goods. Today, this billion-dollar enterprise is a household name, ISIS or Daesh. Mr. President, the meteoric rise of ISIS is just one example of terrorism 2.0. Extremist groups are using every tool and means at their disposal to further their radical ideological goals and commit senseless acts of brutality. The haunting images of terrorism will forever be in our minds. School children murdered by the Taliban, journalists beheaded by ISIS, innocent Christians massacred by Al-Shabaab, and the countless innocent civilians who were victims of suicide attacks perpetrated by Hezbollah and Hamas. To effectively counter the threat posed by terrorists, the international community must address every means by which radical groups take root and grow. To confront terrorism 2.0, we must prevent, preempt, and undermine terrorism. In other words, we must invest in counterterrorism 3.0, a three-pronged approach to combating and preventing terrorism. Mr. President, first, we must cut off the supply lines that originate with organized crime networks. Terrorist groups rely on criminal networks to provide them with weaponry and munition. Hezbollah, for example, runs one of the largest and most sophisticated global criminal operations in the world. For years, it has funded terrorism through criminal enterprises, including narcotics, trafficking, and forging currency. In 2008, German authorities arrested two Lebanese members of Hezbollah carrying more than 8 million euros generated from cocaine smuggling. In 2011, American authorities uncovered an extensive Hezbollah narcotic trafficking and money laundering scheme that was generating as much as $200 million a month for the terrorist organization. In addition to raising funds through drug sales, Hezbollah is deeply involved in the trafficking of counterfeit and stolen currency and goods. In 2009, the FBI revealed that a Hezbollah member tied to the Philadelphia criminal underworld was trying to sell stolen cell phones, laptops, and cars. The international community must develop a robust strategy to interrupt the flow of funds from criminal enterprises to terrorist groups. By severing the connection, we will cut the financial and logistical lifeline that keeps terrorist groups afloat. Second, Mr. President, this council must address the state sponsor of terrorism. The fact of the matter is that some member states in this organization support, harbor, finance, train, and smuggle terrorists and weapons in our region. Qatar is aggressively funding the Taliban in Afghanistan, Al-Nusra in Syria, and Hamas in Gaza. In fact, in Gaza, just a few days ago, Hamas held a rally in which Abu Obaidah, Hamas's military wing spokesman, publicly thanks Qatar and Iran for their ongoing support. In addition to financing Hamas, Iran is bankrolling Hezbollah with up to $200 million a year to wage war on its behalf. In the last 2 years alone, Hezbollah operatives have been detained in Nigeria, Thailand, and Cyprus for plotting attacks on civilians. And at the instruction of Iran, Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah publicly declared that his forces will ensure the survival of Syria's Assad regime. The international community can no longer ignore or downplay the global threat posed by Hezbollah. Its founding manifesto pledges loyalty to Iran's supreme leader, seeks the establishment of a fundamentalist Islamic regime, and calls for war against Israel and the West. Terrorist groups will continue undermining international peace and security so long as state actors supply them with weaponry, financing, training, and safe havens. A stable and prosperous Middle East will remain elusive until this council unmasks those rogue regimes and compels them to end their support for terrorism. Third, Mr. President, the international community must broaden and strengthen sanctions against terror groups. More effective procedures are needed to bring individuals involved in terrorist activities to justice. Mechanisms must be put in place to freeze their financial assets and prevent their movement through the territories of member states. Mr. President, every democracy walks a fine line between defining civil liberties and upholding the rule of law. It isn't easy, but we can never allow terrorist groups to gain the upper hand. The recent decision by the European Court of Justice is an injustice to the victim of Hamas terror attacks, Israeli and Palestinian as well. Terrorism is a global problem, and there must be a continuous effort by all those who stand for freedom to fight it. Terrorism will not retreat on its own. It cannot be stopped by embracing moderates or making concessions. Complacency breeds catastrophe, and we will all bear the consequences. For the sake of our children, our nations, and our common future, we must stand shoulder to shoulder and hold to account all those who support and engage in terrorism. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant d'Israël pour sa présentation. Je donne la parole au représentant du Mali.
Monsieur le Président, à l'entame de mon propos, permettez-moi d'exprimer la joie et la satisfaction du Mali de voir le Tchad, pays frère, présider les travaux du Conseil de sécurité des Nations Unies au titre du mois de décembre 2014. Aujourd'hui, le Tchad est incontournable dans la recherche de la paix et de la sécurité dans le Sahel et dans la région. Au Mali, nous le savons, nous l'apprécions hautement et nous nous inclinons devant la mémoire des vaillants fils tchadiens tombés sur le champ de l'honneur dans le nord de notre pays. Permettez-moi également de féliciter l'Australie pour sa remarquable conduite des travaux du Conseil de sécurité au cours du mois dernier. Ma délégation se félicite de l'adoption de la résolution 2195, remercie le secrétaire général adjoint M. Feldman pour sa présentation et endorse la déclaration faite par l'observateur permanent de l'Union africaine, l'ambassadeur Antonio Tété. Monsieur le Président, l'unanimité est faite sur le fait que le terrorisme constitue aujourd'hui la principale menace à la paix, à la sécurité et à la stabilité dans le monde. Chaque jour, presque, les images d'une actualité marquée par le traumatisme vivace des attaques terroristes perpétrées à travers le monde, comme ce fut le cas mardi dernier contre une école de Peshawar, où 132 innocents écoliers ont péri, nous rappellent que l'hydre du terrorisme est loin d'être vaincu. Le Mali, à l'instar de tous les pays victimes du terrorisme, a payé et continue hélas de payer un lourd tribut au terrorisme suite à l'occupation des régions nord de son territoire par des groupes armés terroristes. Du haut de cette tribune, entre toute symbolique, je condamne avec la plus grande fermeté ces actes ignobles que rien ne justifie et exprime les sincères condoléances et la compassion du peuple et du gouvernement du Mali à toutes les victimes du terrorisme à travers le monde. Monsieur le Président, sur le thème spécifique du débat, je voudrais partager avec vous l'approche du gouvernement du Mali en matière de lutte contre le terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontière. En effet, au Mali, les autorités ont toujours pris la mesure du défi en matière de prévention de l'extrémisme violent et de la lutte contre le terrorisme. Notre approche holistique qui s'inspire d'autres initiatives internationales traite non seulement de la riposte face à la menace terroriste, mais également elle traite de toutes les autres questions connexes comme le trafic de drogue, d'armes, les prises d'otages qui constituent sa serve nourricière. Le gouvernement du Mali a développé à cet effet une stratégie et dégagé des mesures qui combinent à la fois des actions de développement, de lutte contre la pauvreté et un arsenal répressif. À l'échelle nationale, nous avons une loi adoptée le 23 juillet 2008 portant répression du terrorisme et de la criminalité transfrontière et une loi en date du 30 décembre 2010 relative à la lutte contre le financement du terrorisme. Le Mali a également signé et ratifié la plupart des instruments juridiques universels de lutte contre le terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontière organisée. Au plan régional, Le processus de Nouakchott est une initiative qui a permis de prendre d'importantes mesures pour faire face à la montée en puissance du terrorisme dans la zone sahélienne. Le premier sommet de ce processus qui s'est tenu à Nouakchott du 17 au 18 décembre 2014 a permis de prendre d'importantes décisions visant à opérationnaliser l'organisation pour faire face au terrorisme et à la criminalité transfrontière. Je voudrais à cette occasion rappeler ici les propos du président de la République du Mali, Son Excellence Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta, lors du Forum international sur la paix et la sécurité en Afrique qui s'est tenu du 15 au 16 décembre 2014 à Dakar. Je cite, « Tant qu'on n'aura pas résolu le problème du Sud libyen, il n'y aura pas de paix dans nos régions. » Fin de citation. Par ailleurs, en février 2014, le Burkina Faso, le Mali, la Mauritanie et le Tchad ont mis en place à Nouakchott le G5 du Sahel. Il s'agit d'une instance de coordination de politique de développement et de sécurité au sein de notre espace commun pour combler les limites sécuritaires de nos États pris individuellement. Le sommet du G5 Sahel qui se tient aujourd'hui, 19 décembre 2014 à Nouakchott, des décisions importantes sur le thème qui nous réunit aujourd'hui seront prises par les chefs d'État et de gouvernement de cette organisation. Monsieur le Président, dans la lutte contre le terrorisme, en particulier contre l'extrémisme violent, il faut insister sur les vertus du dialogue et de la compréhension mutuelle. Nous devons lutter contre l'attrait pour l'intolérance. C'est pourquoi l'autre approche du gouvernement du Mali réside dans la lutte contre l'embrigadement des jeunes et même des personnes âgées. En effet, aujourd'hui, plus que jamais, il est nécessaire que le discours en faveur de la paix remplace les incitations à la haine. Je voudrais à cette occasion exprimer la gratitude du gouvernement du Mali à Sa Majesté le roi Mohamed VI du Maroc pour la formation de 500 imams maliens dans le royaume chérifien. Cette initiative salutaire de Sa Majesté, qui s'est élargie à d'autres pays, permettra de véhiculer et de propager les valeurs de l'islam, valeurs de paix, de tolérance et d'acceptation de la différence. La promotion de la pratique d'un islam modéré et authentique constitue une des réponses concrètes aux extrémismes. Ce sont ces valeurs de l'islam authentique qui ont servi de source de motivation aux leaders religieux et aux communautés des régions nord du Mali pour opposer une résistance farouche aux groupes terroristes armés. Monsieur le Président, aujourd'hui dans le nord de mon pays, on ne peut différencier les terroristes des groupes armés et c'est là le fond du problème. Le gouvernement du Mali reste convaincu que la sortie de la crise dans le nord passe par la voie politique, qui est aussi le chemin le plus court pour lutter contre le fléau du terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontalière, afin de faire la distinction entre terroristes et groupes armés. C'est dans cet esprit que les chefs d'État et de gouvernement de la CEDEAO et les chefs d'État de gouvernement du processus de Nouakchott, réunis respectivement le 15 décembre à Accra et du 17 au 18 décembre à Nouakchott, ont réitéré leur attachement à la souveraineté de la République du Mali, à son intégrité territoriale, au caractère unitaire, je souligne au caractère unitaire et à la forme républicaine de l'État malien. Réitérer leur appel à tous les groupes armés du nord du Mali, signataires de l'accord de Ouagadougou du 18 juin 2013, à se démarquer des groupes terroristes. Et se sont félicités des résultats enregistrés dans le cadre des pourparlers de paix intermaliens ouverts à Alger depuis juillet 2014 avec le soutien de la médiation internationale conduite par l'Algérie et exhorter les parties maliennes à conclure un accord de paix lors de la reprise de ces pourparlers prévus à Alger en janvier 2015 sur la base du projet soumis aux parties par la médiation. Monsieur le Président, il appartient maintenant au Conseil de sécurité, comme le stipulent les résolutions 2100 et 2164, adoptées sous chapitre 7, d'exiger des groupes armés signataires de l'accord de Ouagadougou du 18 juin 2013 de se démarquer des groupes terroristes. Nous invitons les membres du Conseil de sécurité qui en ont les moyens d'exercer des pressions nécessaires pour amener les secrétaires généraux des mouvements armés à s'impliquer personnellement dans le processus d'Alger lors de sa reprise en janvier prochain, en vue d'aboutir dans les meilleurs délais à un accord de paix global et définitif en République du Mali. Monsieur le Président, pour conclure, nous réitérons l'appel lancé par les chefs d'État et de gouvernement du processus de Nouakchott au Conseil de sécurité des Nations Unies, l'invitant à prendre d'urgence toutes les mesures nécessaires pour renforcer les capacités de l'AMUNUSMA afin de lui permettre de s'acquitter effectivement de son mandat. Les dirigeants du processus de Nouakchott ont exprimé leur entière disponibilité en consultation avec les Nations Unies à contribuer au renforcement de l'AMUNUSMA, en particulier à travers la mise en place, sur le modèle de la brigade d'intervention de la MONUSCO, d'une force d'intervention parmi les contributeurs à déployer au nord du Mali au sein de l'AMUNUSMA avec des règles d'engagement et des moyens robustes afin de contribuer à la lutte contre les groupes armés terroristes et criminels. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Je remercie le représentant du Mali pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole à la représentante de la Malaisie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wish to thank you for convening today's open debate and for the informative concept paper on this very important subject. I also wish to thank Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, Under Secretary General of the Department of Political Affairs and a distinguished representative of the African Union for their respective briefings. We join other speakers in expressing condolences and sympathy to the government and people of Pakistan, as well as the bereaved families of the victims of the recent terrorist attack on the school in Peshawar. Malaysia strongly condemns the attack and the senseless killing of the school children, and we would like to express our support and solidarity with Pakistan and its people in these difficult times. Mr. President, terrorism and cross-border crime constitutes a grave threat to global stability, peace and security. It is evident that terrorism, including its links with cross-border crime, such as money laundering, arms trafficking, trafficking in illicit drugs, people smuggling, kidnapping and piracy, forms part of a complex set of new security challenges to the international community, which have to be addressed urgently in all aspects and in all fora. We note with concern that there is a growing evidence that the presence of terrorist groups involved in cross-border crime tend to complicate the efforts undertaken by United Nations and regional organizations, particularly in the areas of conflict prevention and resolution. As highlighted in the concept paper, there have been many instances where the involvement of terrorist groups in cross-border crime contributes to undermining the authority of states, their security and stability, governance, social and economic development, and the rule of law. There were also indications that in some instances, terrorist groups gained large profit from their involvement in cross-border crimes, such as trafficking in arms and illicit drugs and kidnapping. In this regard, we concur with the proposal that there is a need to look at the strategic impact of the intersection of terrorism and cross-border crime. It is evident that cross-border crime can weaken state authority and its military and policing capability. Cross-border crime can also embolden the terrorist groups, which make them formidable rivals to the state. As such, we share the view that there is a need for the United Nations to consider looking at all the tools available to it to reduce and ultimately to eliminate the strategic space that cross-border crime affords terrorist groups. The proposed measures, however, could perhaps be built on the existing resources and the commendable work already being done, including the Counterterrorism Executive Directorate's analytical expertise and the Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force capacity building expertise. It should also go wider, and it should include relevant UN agencies, funds and programs, and UN field missions, so that the combined UN response would be stronger and more integrated. With such holistic and synchronized approach, the United Nations has the potential to deliver truly impactful support to the region and countries most vulnerable to the threat of terrorism and cross-border crime. Mr. President, Malaysia fully supports the four pillars approach in the UN counter-terrorism strategy, addressing conditions that spread terrorism, preventing and combating terrorism, counter-terrorism capacity building, and respecting human rights and the rule of law. It is indeed crucial to address these conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism and cross-border crime, which include, among others, poverty, violation of human rights, political exclusion, and socio-economic marginalization. Groups and individuals within vulnerable and poverty-stricken serve as potential recruits for radicalization. Extremists often take advantage of the situation resulting from poverty and marginalization to foster the conditions that enable them to carry out their violent actions. The international community must therefore redouble its efforts to bring the fruits of balanced and sustainable socio-economic development to areas where such development is lacking. Mr. President, Malaysia condemns terrorism in all its forms and manifestation. We reaffirm the need to combat, by all means, in accordance with the Charter of the United Nations and international law, threats to international peace and security caused by terrorist acts and cross-border crime. In the wake of the rampant advance of terror and violent extremist groups, both in terms of capturing actual territory as well as intellectual or ideological space, Malaysia co-sponsored Resolution 2178 last September. In doing so, Malaysia had sought to lend its support towards galvanizing international action to combat terrorism in general and the scourge of foreign terrorist fighters in particular. While we acknowledge the sovereign prerogative of member states in securing their borders, we wish to stress the crucial role of the United Nations in leading and coordinating the effort to address the challenges of terrorism and cross-border crime. In this regard, we believe that the relevant entities of the UN systems, including the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, the Department of Political Affairs, DPKO, UNDP and Interpol, should enhance their collaboration so as to prevent terrorist groups from benefiting in cross-border crime. It is also important for the Peacebuilding Commission and other relevant international organizations to support the development and strengthening of the capacities of national institutions to prevent, investigate, prosecute, judge, and punish those responsible for cross-border crimes. We are also of the view that it is imperative for member states, regional organizations, and the relevant international organization to enhance cooperation and strategies and build capacity to secure their borders against terrorists and cross-border crime. This can be done through cooperation in the forms of exchange of information, capacity building, technology transfer, as well as confidence building measures. Mr. President, in conclusion, Malaysia fully shares the spirit and the sentiment which underlines the convening of this open debate on terrorism and cross-border crime. Malaysia will continue to give its full support and pledge its cooperation to combat terrorism and cross-border crime for mutual benefit among the countries and citizens of the world. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie la représentante de la Malaisie. Je donne la parole au représentant du Japon.
Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to express my appreciation to you for holding today's open debate on terrorism and cross-border crime and the impact it has on international peace and security, with a special focus on Africa. I am also grateful for the detailed concept paper prepared by Chad on this issue. Japan highly values this cross-cutting initiative to have not only operational discussions on specific issues such as terrorism, trafficking, and cross-border crime, but also multidimensional and strategic discussions, keeping a broader perspective in mind on conflict prevention and resolution. Mr. President, Japan has been taking the initiative to hold TICAD, the Tokyo International Conference on African Development, for more than 20 years, with a consistent theme of social and economic development in Africa. One of the main pillars of the TICAD process has been consolidating peace and stability as a prerequisite for development in coping with the so-called root causes of conflicts and avoiding the recurrence of conflicts by enhancing good governance. In order to boost this process, last month in Tokyo, Japan held the workshop on regional cooperation in criminal justice for counterterrorism in North Africa and the Sahel, with participants from the countries in the region. Thus, Japan has been consistently advocating for the significance of establishing peace and security from a much broader perspective in order to promote development in Africa. Mr. President, Japan supports the idea that the Security Council should be engaged not only in specific and operational discussions, but also strategic and cross-cutting discussions, keeping in mind the broader perspective of conflict prevention and resolution. For example, Japan is of the view that the discussions should review the possible linkage that activities on the ground, such as peacekeeping operations and special political missions, could have with other specific operations undertaken by the UN. Such an approach will enhance the effectiveness and efficiency of the actions by the UN system as a whole, thus maximizing our efforts. Therefore, we support the idea of conducting a strategic review as suggested in the concept note, and we hope that this review will be a practical and productive one, rather than a conceptual one, so that we can make a concrete difference on the ground. Mr. President, in this context, let me share with this Council one concrete project that my government is undertaking on the ground. This might be a good example of a project that could have a multidimensional and cross-cutting effect. Controlling the border in Africa, especially in the Sahel region, is not an easy task for anyone, since it is as if doing the job in the sea due to the existence of Sahara Desert. We should bear in mind this characteristic, not only the lack of capacity of border countries. Japan has been promoting the one-stop border post in Africa, which aims to eliminate the daily cumbersome border procedure with an efficient high-technology system that embraces all border procedures, such as customs, immigration, and vehicular clearances. The idea of this project is to promote trade by shortening the time necessary for goods to cross the border by enabling all the necessary procedures to be done at once at the one-stop border post, instead of stopping twice at both sides for exit and entry. Adapting the local system to a globalized market has indeed been making difference. It turns out that making measures to improve procedures at borders also has a much broader effect. Measures for reinforcing border procedures can make a positive impact in the fight against trafficking in drugs, firearms, and persons, transferring of terrorists, and terrorist financing. The opposite is true as well. Taking measures against terrorism and cross-border crime can have a positive effect on promoting trade and investment. Mr. President, it is true that we should tackle and take operational measures on the issues in question one by one. But it is also true that we should implement such specific measures with a more cross-cutting and broad-eye view in mind in order to maximize the effectiveness and efficiency of our efforts. I believe taking the broader perspective on the one-stop border post project is a good example of such an approach. And Japan hopes this way of thinking will be mainstreamed in the future discussions in this Council. Mr. President, let me conclude my statement by reaffirming Japan's resolute position to fight against all the problems which could undermine international peace and security, including terrorism and cross-border crime. As a responsible member of the UN, Japan will continue to play an active role in the discussions on more effective and efficient ways to fight against these problems. hand in hand with the international community. I thank you for your attention.
Je remercie le représentant du Japon pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant d'Irak.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيد الرئيس، في البداية نود أن نهنئ تشاد على توليها رئاسة المجلس لهذا الشهر ونشكرها على عقد هذه المناقشة المفتوحة الهامة بشأن مكافحة الإرهاب وعلاقة الإرهاب بالجرائم المنظمة العابرة للحدود. وأود أيضا أن نهنئ أستراليا على إدارتها الكفوءة لمجلس الأمن للشهر الماضي. السيد الرئيس، يهنئ وفد بلادي بلادكم دولتكم تشاد على جهودها بإصدار قرار 2195 الذي أقره مجلس الأمن الدولي هذا اليوم. إن اجتماع مجلس الأمن الدولي هذا اليوم يسلط الضوء على ظاهرة خطيرة، وهي تنامي وازدهار الإرهاب وتعاونه مع شبكات الجريمة المنظمة العابرة للحدود التي تتنامى أنشطتها مع ازدياد الأعمال الإرهابية، حيث أن كلاهما يعتمد على الآخر. لقد طرأ تحول وتغيير نوعي في طبيعة الإرهاب وعلاقته بجرائم المنظمة، فكلاهما عابر للحدود ويساهمان في تهديد أمن وزعزعة استقرار الشعوب، ويحدان من عمليات التنمية الاقتصادية والاجتماعية، ويستنزفان موارد الدول، ويؤثران على عملية تعزيز نظام الحكم الديمقراطي، وتسبب في خلق أزمات إنسانية كثيرة وصعوبات في إيصال المساعدات الإنسانية لآلاف النازحين واللاجئين، وأن العراق نموذج لأكثر المتضررين جراء ذلك. السيد الرئيس، يشير تقرير فريق الدعم التحليلي ورصد الجزاءات التابع للجنة القاعدة المنشأة بموجب القرارين 1267 1989 إلى أن وسائط الإعلام وصفت كيان داعش الإرهابي بأنه أغنى منظمة إرهابية في العالم، ويعتمد في قوته وتمويله على أساليب وطرق إجرامية تزرع الخوف والإرهاب في الناس من خلال الخطف والابتزاز والسرقات وتهريب قطع الآثار العراقية والسورية التاريخية والثمينة والمتاجرة بالنساء والأطفال، وسيطرته على حقول النفط في العراق وسوريا. ويعد تهريب النفط والآثار العراقية والتجارة بالبشر والأعضاء البشرية من أهم مصادر إيراداته وتمويل أنشطته، مستفيداً من وجود شبكات التهريب في المنطقة. إن ضعف ضبط الأمن في الحدود المشتركة نتيجة الأزمة السورية وتمكن كيان داعش من السيطرة على الأراضي والمدن العراقية المتاخمة للحدود السورية ساعد على تأسيس العديد من هذه الشبكات الإجرامية المنظمة التي تنتقل بحرية في هذه المناطق وعبر الحدود والمتاجرة بالآثار العراقية. لابد من تذكير الدول الأعضاء في الأمم المتحدة بضرورة الالتزام بقرار مجلس الأمن المرقم 1483، وتحديداً الفقرة السابعة منه، حول اتخاذ الدول الخطوات اللازمة لإعادة الممتلكات الثقافية والآثار العراقية والممتلكات الأخرى ذات الأهمية الأثرية والتاريخية والثقافية والدينية التي تم الاتجار بها بصورة غير قانونية. إن كيان داعش الإرهابي يستغل المناطق التي يسيطر عليها في العراق وسوريا لينهب ويهرب ويتاجر بالآثار الثمينة لتمويل أنشطته الإرهابية، ويعتمد على شبكة من الوسطاء العراقيين ومن دول الجوار في سوريا ولبنان وتركيا، يسهلون تمرير وبيع الآثار والنفط والغاز وإيصالها إلى الدول الأوروبية والمناطق الأخرى. السيد الرئيس، إن هذه الشبكة المعقدة التركيب من المنظمات الإرهابية والوسطاء والدول التي تشتري بشكل غير شرعي وغير قانوني لا تلتزم بقرار مجلسكم تحت الفصل السابع، وتهدد الأمن والسلم الدوليين، ولا بد لمجلسكم الموقر بكل قوته الحد منها وإيقافها، ووضع الشركات والأشخاص التي تتعامل معهم في القائمة السوداء، وإلزام الدول بإيقافهم ومحاسبتهم وفق الأطر والقوانين الدولية. السيد الرئيس، إن الالتزام بتنفيذ قراري مجلس الأمن 2170 2178 كفيل بالحد من تنامي تهديد وخطر الإرهابي والجرائم المنظمة العابرة للحدود، التي تساعد بشكل كبير على ديمومة تدفق الموارد المالية للمنظمات الإرهابية، وأن التعاون الدولي والإقليمي والالتزام بتنفيذ القرارين 2170 2178 أساسي وضروري، خصوصاً في المجالات الأمنية والاستخبارية وضبط أمن الحدود وبناء القدرات. ختاماً سيد الرئيس، إن العراق من الدول المتضررة من جراء الاتجار بآثاره وممتلكاته الثقافية والدينية، ويؤيد إصدار قرار حازم وجريء وتحت الفصل السابع، ونشارككم الرأي بوجود ترابط بين الإرهابي وشبكات الجريمة المنظمة العابرة للحدود خصوصاً، وإن العراق يعاني من وجودهما على أرضه. وشكراً سيد الرئيس.
Je remercie le représentant d'Irak pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant des Pays-Bas.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Président. First, allow me to express my appreciation for your initiative to organize this important open debate on terrorism and cross-border crime with a special focus on the African continent. I align myself with the statement delivered by the EU, and I will limit my statement, and the full version of my statement will be available via Twitter in view of time constraints. Mr. President, this week the world was shocked by the brutal terrorist events in Australia, Pakistan and Yemen. The Kingdom of the Netherlands condemns these atrocious attacks in the strongest terms. These events remind us of how acts of terrorism can randomly target innocent civilians and how they constitute a threat to peace and security everywhere. These terrorist acts show that terrorism is one of the biggest challenges of our time. Terrorism needs to be addressed globally, and all countries should make efforts to that effect. And in order for these efforts to be constructive, we need to remain firmly committed to the universal principles of human rights and international humanitarian law. And my government, the Kingdom of the Netherlands, it is deeply committed to combating all forms of terrorism. Together with Morocco, we chaired a global counter-terrorism forum's new working group on foreign terrorist fighters. And this week, the inaugural meeting of the working group was convened in Marrakech, Morocco, and we pay tribute to the efforts of the government of Morocco in this field, and we thank you, Mr. President, for having the Perm Rep of Morocco and me speaking after each other in view of our close cooperation. In our view, the UN plays a key role in the international efforts to combat terrorism, and this role is threefold. First, to facilitate cooperation between states. Second, to mainstream preventive and protective measures across the UN agenda, including development. And third, to go after the means of finance of terrorist groups, their leaders, and affiliated persons. The UN sanction regime, of course, is a crucial tool for this. Mr. President, the increasing links between terrorist groups and cross-border crime are of grave concern to the international community. And we are concerned that criminal activities are an important financing mechanism for terrorist groups, in particular in certain regions in Africa. The proliferation of arms as a result of the destabilization of Libya has strengthened and emboldened these terrorist groups, and they threaten regional peace and security. The Kingdom of the Netherlands takes this threat very serious, and we therefore have a large contingent in Mali in MINUSMA. And, Mr. President, I said this earlier this week, we treasure the cooperation with Chad in the field in Mali. In a global counterterrorism forum, a special Horn of Africa working group addresses both regional stability and specific issues in the Sahel. And it's important that more states make use of this working group to focus more on the specific regional dimensions of terrorism in this part of Africa. And as I mentioned, countering transborder crime is a key element in this. Mr. President, we need to collect more empirical data on the links between transnational organized crime and terrorism. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime is well equipped to do this, and the Transnational Organized Crime Analysis for West Africa is a prime example. We also suggest making more intensive use of the UN's Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime for combating cross-border crime on the African continent. The impact of these crimes is felt by countries in the region, and is also felt in Europe as a frequent destination for trafficking in persons and drugs. The Kingdom of the Netherlands believes it is crucial to forge new partnerships between European and African countries to combat the destabilizing effects of transnational criminal activities. Through UNODC, the Netherlands government supports affected governments in data collection and capacity building for law enforcement agencies. And on 21st of January 2015, our mission here in New York will host an event to discuss the broader adverse effects of transnational organized crime on the sustainable development of countries. And we strongly welcome participation by African states. Mr. President, in conclusion, the Kingdom of the Netherlands is a partner for peace, justice and development, and we therefore cooperate intensively with multilateral and bilateral counterparts on both transnational and organized crime and counterterrorism efforts. We seek to build strategic partnerships for a joint response, promoting peace, justice, and development. And we strongly welcome suggestions by countries in the affected regions for ways of further cooperation. I thank you very much, Mr. President. Merci beaucoup.
Je remercie le représentant du Royaume des Pays-Bas. Je donne la parole au représentant du Royaume du Maroc.
Monsieur le Président, permettez-moi tout d'abord de vous féliciter pour la présidence réussie de votre pays du Conseil de sécurité durant ce mois de décembre et surtout pour la pertinence du choix de la thématique « Les menaces à la paix et à la sécurité internationale, terrorisme et crimes transfrontières ». Le Royaume du Maroc tient à cette occasion à réitérer sa condamnation ferme du terrorisme dans toutes ses formes en soulignant que rien ne peut justifier un acte terroriste. Ainsi, suite aux attaques des terroristes talibans perpétrées dans une école à Peshawar, Sa Majesté le Roi Mohamed VI a adressé un message de condoléances et de compassion au président pakistanais, Son Excellence Mamnoun Hussein, et à travers lui au peuple pakistanais dans lequel il a condamné dans les termes les plus fermes ces actes ignobles, en soulignant que le terrorisme est banni par les préceptes de notre religion islamique tolérante et rejeté par les religions célestes, les principes de l'humanité et les valeurs démocratiques qui consacrent leur droit à la vie en tant que principe suprême des droits de l'homme. Nous condamnons également, avec les termes les plus fermes, l'enlèvement au nord du Nigeria des femmes et d'enfants, ainsi que l'assassinat de plusieurs dizaines parmi eux par le groupe terroriste Boko Haram. Et nous voudrions réitérer notre solidarité avec le gouvernement et le peuple nigérian. Ma délégation se félicite de l'adoption de la résolution S/2014/917 qui permettra de consolider les instruments et résolutions pertinents consacrant la lutte contre le terrorisme ainsi que ceux relatifs à la criminalité transfrontière. Monsieur le Président, la dernière décennie a connu une recrudescence des actes terroristes couplée à une montée en puissance de la criminalité transfrontière menaçant la stabilité, la souveraineté et l'intégrité territoriale des États. Les réseaux terroristes et les criminels qui coopèrent et s'activent dans le trafic de tout genre, d'armes, d'êtres humains, de drogue, etc., ne ménagent aucun effort pour tisser des liens et à des fins criminelles. Notre continent africain ne fait pas l'exception, malheureusement. Et la région sahélo-maghrébine n'échappe pas à ce fléau. Le constat est là. Au fur et à mesure de l'examen et de l'analyse de ce danger, le lien se confirme davantage entre le trafic de drogue, le crime transfrontière, les groupes armés, les mouvements séparatistes, les groupuscules terroristes et le financement du terrorisme. Des narcotrafiquants et trafiquants d'armes ont rallié les rangs d'Al-Qaïda et sa filière Maghreb islamique ACMI. L'ensemble de ces réseaux criminels s'entremêlent et se nourrissent de plus en plus les uns des autres, mais aussi se mondialisent, augmentent ainsi leur capacité de déstabilisation, de massacre et de sauvagerie. Ils menacent la paix et la sécurité, non seulement dans l'espace africain et surtout dans la zone sahélo-maghrébine, mais également la paix et la sécurité internationale. Monsieur le Président, le Royaume du Maroc a été parmi les premiers pays à alerter la communauté internationale à ces connexions dangereuses entre trafiquants, groupes armés et terroristes au Sahel, appelant à la vigilance et à la conjugaison des efforts à l'échelle sous-régionale, régionale et internationale. Notre préoccupation découlait d'une prise de conscience des connexions constatées entre le terrorisme, les trafics de drogue, d'armes et d'êtres humains et les prises d'otages de touristes innocents et des travailleurs humanitaires et même des responsables onusiens. Mon pays avait alors appelé à une action concertée des États de la région du Sahel et du Maghreb pour agir à titre préventif et endiguer les efforts néfastes déjà perceptibles de ces activités. Les événements au nord du Mali et l'atteinte sérieuse portée à son intégrité territoriale. L'expansion du groupe terroriste de Boko Haram, qui étend son influence dans les zones sahélo-sahariennes, et le flux de combattants terroristes étrangers et de criminels n'ont fait que confirmer nos craintes et démontrer que la menace d'instabilité n'était pas une simple hypothèse, mais une réalité immédiate, aux conséquences néfastes pour l'ensemble de notre région. Ce qui a élucidé les préoccupations marocaines manifestées à l'appel du Royaume, en conséquence à une action concertée des États de la région sahélo-saharienne et du Maghreb pour lutter ensemble contre les désactivités, le criminel transnational et le terrorisme. Pour faire face à ce phénomène du terrorisme et de criminalité transfrontalière, mon pays a développé sa propre stratégie nationale, basée sur la gouvernance sécuritaire, la mise à niveau du cadre juridique, la lutte contre la précarité sociale et la réforme du champ religieux. Elle s'est investie en outre dans les efforts internationaux, tant au sein de l'ONU que dans le cadre de la stratégie mondiale antiterroriste et par le truchement d'une coopération fructueuse et agissante avec l'ONUDC et le CITED, ainsi que le CTIITF, ainsi qu'à l'échelle régionale et sous-régionale, par une coopération et échange d'expertise dans plusieurs domaines avec des pays africains amis, et à travers la coopération sud-sud et triangulaire, ainsi que dans des initiatives et forums internationaux de lutte contre le terrorisme, dont le Forum global de lutte contre le terrorisme. Monsieur le Président, le terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontière se nourrissent d'un ensemble complexe de facteurs politiques, économiques et sociaux, interdépendants, auxquels il faut répondre par le renforcement de la bonne gouvernance, le développement durable, la promotion et la protection, le respect des droits de l'homme et l'investissement dans le capital humain, par une éducation et formation adéquate, capable d'immuniser l'individu contre la criminalité, l'extrémisme et le terrorisme. C'est pourquoi mon pays considère que la mise en œuvre de la stratégie intégrée des Nations Unies pour le Sahel nécessite à la fois son appropriation par chacun des États membres de la région et un accompagnement par la communauté internationale. Il est en outre indispensable de renforcer la sécurisation des frontières dans la région sahélo-maghrébine pour juguler les menaces transnationales et empêcher la libre circulation des terroristes étrangers, des trafiquants d'armes, d'êtres humains et de drogue pour freiner cette poussée de terrorisme dans la région. C'est dans cet objectif que le Royaume du Maroc a abrité plusieurs réunions et conférences, dont la conférence ministérielle sur la coopération en matière de contrôle aux frontières dans le Sahel et au Maghreb, organisée à Rabat en novembre 2013 et sanctionnée par la déclaration de Rabat, qui a préconisé des mesures concrètes pour améliorer la sécurité aux frontières. Le 28 et 29 octobre 2014, le Maroc a organisé à Rabat également la conférence régionale sur la déclaration de Genève sur la violence armée et le développement dans la région MENA, sous l'intitulé « Mettre fin à la violence armée pour la paix et le développement », et ce, pour souligner l'impératif de la coopération sous-régionale. Et dans le cadre du Forum global de lutte contre le terrorisme, qui a adopté le mémorandum La Haye-Marrakech, que mon collègue, l'ambassadeur des Pays-Bas, a mis en exergue dans sa déclaration il y a quelques minutes, sur les bonnes pratiques pour une meilleure réponse au phénomène des combattants terroristes étrangers. Le Maroc, qui copréside avec les Pays-Bas le groupe de travail sur les combattants terroristes étrangers, a organisé, comme cela a été souligné par mon collègue néerlandais, les 15 et 16 courants à Marrakech, une réunion sur ce sujet qui a été sanctionnée par un plan d'action aussi ambitieux qu'énergique pour combattre le terrorisme étranger. Pour conclure, Monsieur le Président, je dirais, parce que le terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontière ne connaissent ni religion, ni peuple, ni frontières, la communauté internationale se doit de se doter d'une stratégie globale de mobilisation et de coopération à tous les niveaux. Lutter contre ces fléaux du XXIe siècle se doit d'être un combat de chaque moment, de chaque jour, et de nous tous, et ce, jusqu'à leur éradication totale. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Je remercie le représentant du Royaume du Maroc pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant du Niger.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Prenant la parole au nom des quatre États membres de la Commission du bassin du lac Tchad et du Bénin, je voudrais tout d'abord remercier la présidence tchadienne du Conseil de sécurité pour ce mois de décembre 2014 d'avoir convoqué cet important débat public sur le terrorisme et la criminalité transfrontalière au titre du point intitulé « Menaces contre la paix et la sécurité en général et à celles touchant au terrorisme et à la criminalité transfrontalière en particulier ». Nous remercions M. Jeffrey Feltman, secrétaire général adjoint aux affaires politiques, pour son exposé sur le rapport du secrétaire général sur les efforts déployés par le système des Nations Unies pour aider les organismes nationaux, sous-régionaux et régionaux en Afrique à lutter contre le terrorisme. Un rapport très informatif. Ainsi que l'ambassadeur Tété Antonio, observateur permanent de l'Union africaine, pour sa présentation exhaustive. Monsieur le Président, la présence parmi nous ce matin des hautes personnalités que sont les ministres des Affaires étrangères du Tchad, du Nigeria, du Luxembourg, de la Libye, le secrétaire d'État aux Affaires étrangères de l'Argentine et le directeur général pour la politique étrangère du Chili témoignent éloquemment de l'importance du sujet sous examen ainsi que de la nécessité de prendre les mesures qui s'imposent. Monsieur le Président, comme le font clairement ressortir la note de cadrage que la présidence tchadienne a utilement mise à la disposition des participants au débat et le rapport du secrétaire général, il ne fait aucun doute que terrorisme et criminalité transfrontalière sont interliés et se renforcent mutuellement. Et tout naturellement, cette connexion entre les deux phénomènes n'est pas sans conséquences négatives sur les efforts sous-régionaux, régionaux et internationaux de prévention et de résolution des conflits, dont ceux du Conseil de sécurité, l'organe principal ayant pour mandat, au terme des dispositions pertinentes de la charte de l'organisation, de veiller au maintien de la paix et de la sécurité internationale. Cela pose également, comme l'a si bien souligné la note de cadrage, la question de savoir si les instruments dont dispose le Conseil de sécurité au fin de l'accomplissement de sa mission demeurent encore adaptés aux réalités sur le terrain. À cet égard, les États membres de la CBLT et le Bénin de la région connaissent depuis plusieurs années de graves et fréquentes atteintes à la paix et à la sécurité de leur population du fait d'actes terroristes, estiment, tout en reconnaissant l'appui multiforme à leurs efforts de la part des partenaires, tant bilatéraux que multilatéraux, qu'il serait hautement souhaitable de procéder à une analyse approfondie de la situation afin de dégager une stratégie plus appropriée. Une telle réflexion est d'autant plus indiquée que l'ONU elle-même s'apprête à revoir ses opérations de maintien de la paix en 2015 afin de les adapter aux réalités de l'heure et a déjà mis en place à cet effet un panel de haut niveau que préside l'ancien président du Timor-Leste et prix Nobel de la paix. En outre, la note conceptuelle pour ce débat contient d'ores et déjà des éléments susceptibles de servir de piste à suivre. Monsieur le Président, nous partageons entièrement les arguments mis en avant par la présidence, toujours à travers la note de cadrage, arguments selon lesquels le crime organisé transfrontalier agrandit le champ d'opération des groupes terroristes au détriment des capacités et de l'autorité des États où ils sévissent, inhibe sérieusement les efforts de règlement des conflits, car ne trouvant leur compte qu'en situation trouble. Dans l'espace CBLT plus le Bénin, les activités terroristes de Boko Haram, probablement en connexion avec d'autres groupes de même acabit, non seulement troublent, en allant d'ailleurs crescendo, la paix et la sécurité dans tout l'espace et même au-delà, mais aussi entame sérieusement la stabilité des pays de la région eux-mêmes. En effet, en plus des enlèvements dont celui horrible de 300 jeunes écolières de Chibok, Boko Haram a poussé des milliers de gens, en particulier des femmes et des enfants, à fuir leur maison pour se réfugier dans les pays voisins. La situation humanitaire ainsi créée interpelle la conscience de tous et ne devrait pas perdurer, car il y a urgence. À cet effet, les États membres de la CBLT et le Bénin en appellent à toute la communauté internationale, en particulier le Conseil de sécurité de l'ONU, pour qu'un appui à la hauteur de la menace que pose à la sous-région la conjonction de ces phénomènes de terrorisme et de criminalité transfrontalière soit apportée à la sous-région afin que cette menace soit à jamais enrayée et éradiquée de la zone. Les partenaires ont certes, lors de la conférence de Paris de mai 2014 sur la sécurité au Nigeria et de la réunion ministérielle de suivi de Londres de juin 2014, manifesté et promis leur solidarité et promis une assistance aux pays membres de la CBLT et le Bénin, qui ont depuis lors décidé de mutualiser leurs efforts. Ces derniers ont, depuis lors, pris des mesures conséquentes, dont la création d'une unité régionale de centralisation du renseignement et celle d'une force spéciale mixte multinationale, mais qui reste à rendre opérationnelle. Avec l'adoption à l'unanimité de la résolution 2195-2014, nous fondons alors un grand espoir qu'elle sera utilement mise en œuvre pour efficacement combattre les deux fléaux dans la sous-région et partout ailleurs, notamment lorsque le secrétaire général aura présenté son rapport sur la question. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Je remercie le représentant du Niger pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de l'Éthiopie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me begin by once again expressing appreciation to you for organizing this open debate to discuss the intersection between terrorism and cross-border crime in Africa, and also broadly look at its implications for regional and international peace and security. I would like to thank Under Secretary General Jeffrey Feltman and Ambassador Tete Antonio for their comprehensive and lucid presentation. Ethiopia fully aligns itself with the statement delivered by the African Union, which extensively covered all the salient issues, and therefore my remarks would be brief. Ambassador Tete's statement was indeed very comprehensive. No need to repeat what he said, Mr. President. The link between terrorism and cross-border crime has been a matter of real concern for us in Africa, and its ramification for the peace and security of our continent cannot be overemphasized. Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, Boko Haram, and other groups have expanded their terrorist and criminal activities beyond the confines of national borders, and various regions of Africa are already suffering from the impact of these negative developments. It's not always easy to make clear distinction between terrorist activities that affect a whole region and other forms of cross-border crimes, because no doubt they feed on each other. In our region in particular, Al-Shabaab is posing threats not only to Somalia, but also the wider region. This terrorist group has been benefiting from piracy, ransom, illicit charcoal trade, and tax to finance its outrageous terrorist and criminal activities. Although Al-Shabaab has been significantly weakened by the joint military operations of the Somali National Army and AMISOM, it has nonetheless expanded its activities beyond the Somali borders. It has been launching a series of asymmetrical attacks in neighboring countries. Of course, we all recall the barbaric Westgate Mall attack last year by Al-Shabaab in Nairobi that claimed the lives of many innocent civilians. The group has also been threatening to launch similar attacks in Ethiopia, and no country in the region is immune to the danger. Mr. President, the meeting of the African Union Peace and Security Council held at the level of heads of state and government in September 2014 noted the regional dimension of terrorism, particularly in Northern Africa, the Sahel region, Central and Eastern Africa. Accordingly, it expressed its serious concern with the increasing terrorist and other criminal activities of extremist groups across national boundaries. That's why it called for practical and action-oriented cooperation at regional levels, building on the experiences of the Nouakchott process and other similar initiatives to combat terrorism and cross-border crime, including drug trafficking, illicit trafficking of small arms and light weapons, and others. The exchange of information and intelligence, the enhancement of border security, the establishment of regular mechanisms of cooperation for cooperation, and the sharing of experiences and best practices is indeed very critical to deal with the threat of terrorism and cross-border crime at the regional level. That is what we are trying to do in our sub-region, and we are fully committed to continue to build on our experience to fight the menace of terrorism and related crimes
in all their aspects, Mr. President. At the level of the Council, we believe that the issue needs to be given greater attention than hitherto. As clearly explained in the concept note, there is a need to reflect on the existing strategies and available tools so as to enhance efforts to address the nexus between terrorism and cross-border crimes. In this regard, we believe it is imperative for the United Nations and its relevant bodies to assess their cooperation with various regions and identify gaps with a view to devising appropriate strategy to provide the necessary assistance to build their capacity in addressing this challenge, thereby reducing the ability of terrorist groups to take advantage of cross-border crimes. There is no doubt that insofar as our region is concerned, there is a critical need for ensuring that decisions taken by the Council are effectively implemented. Here, the illegal charcoal trade comes to mind immediately. It is in this spirit that we support the recommendations outlined in the concept note, and we look forward to the report of the Secretary General on the effort of the United Nations to address the threat of terrorists benefiting from cross-border crime in affected regions, including Africa. That's why we have also co-sponsored Resolution 2195, and we welcome its unanimous adoption by the Council. The real challenge lies with the effective implementation of the resolution, which requires enhanced cooperation and coherence by member states and other stakeholders at all levels. I hope we'll all rise up to the challenge. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Éthiopie pour sa déclaration. Je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de la République islamique d'Iran. Je vous en prie.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Mr. President, let me begin by expressing my appreciation to Chad Presidency for convening this debate on the threats to international peace and security, terrorism, and cross-border crimes. I also thank the Secretariat and the representative of African Union for their briefings. The Islamic Republic of Iran condemns terrorism in all its forms and manifestations, including state terrorism. We firmly believe that resorting to indiscriminate violence and acts of terrorism, whether by terrorist groups or by state military forces, and killing and injuring civilians and generating terror and intimidation among the public are criminal acts, which could not be justified in any manner. My country has long been a target of terrorism, and we are fully aware of the grave consequences of acts of terrorism for the victims, their families, and for targeted societies at large. Terrorism has adversely affected the daily life of many nations, including mine, for long, and continues to jeopardize the safety and security and general well-being of increasing number of people around the world. And despite all efforts made at various fronts, we are far from uprooting this menace. The threat of terrorism continues to affect our societies. For decades, a number of causes and factors has led or contributed to terrorism under special circumstances. While nothing could justify terrorist acts against innocent people, national governments and international community should do their utmost to address the root causes that could create breeding grounds for terrorists. Moreover, unfortunately, terrorism has been occasionally manipulated into a political leverage against others. Some have not hesitated to work with terrorists whenever they saw it beneficial to their narrowly defined political, geopolitical interests. We must indeed reject functional approach towards terrorism. While it is always repeated that all forms of terrorism should be condemned by all states, But in fact, some states are not consistent in their approach towards terrorism. These states accord professional, preferential treatments to those terrorist groups that are aligned with their short-sighted political interests. While reiterating the importance and the need of concluding a comprehensive legal instrument for combating international terrorism, the international community must strengthen its efforts to arrive at such a comprehensive instrument, which has been under consideration for several years. In this context, we believe that the consensual definition of terrorism will strengthen the international cooperation against terrorism and end subject to abuse ambiguities concerning this term. Mr. President, violent extremism, mostly embodied these days by the Takfiri groups, which is enshrined in their dangerous ideologies and manifested in their abhorrent brutality and shocking savagery, is chief among the threats to peace and security in the Middle East and beyond. We utterly reject stereotypes that attach the name of Islam to bloody and violent acts committed by such despicable groups as Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Jabhatun Nusra, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, and the alike. They are nothing more than terrorist organizations which have grown out of the chaos created and assistance available to them during the past decade. They have now found breeding grounds, fabricated a new false cause, and turned into a monster that is now even threatening their creators. Unfortunately, terrorism in our region has also developed into an abhorrent cross-border phenomenon. Therefore, we need the engagement of all regional states and international actors to deny extremists access to funds, recruits, and other resources that they use to spread terror across the region and beyond. That should include resolute actions to putting an end to moral and financial support for extremists. The nexus created between terrorists and drug traffickers is also of great importance in the fight against terrorism. My government during the past few years has been doing whatever in its power to fight the extremist groups in the region, and first of all has secured its border to prevent any movement to or from the areas controlled by these groups. In many cases, the Iranian officials stopped and apprehended individuals who tried to use Iranian territory to cross over or send material assistance to terrorists. We continue our fight against terrorism with resolution and determination. All members of the international community have the same responsibility to combat terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. Mr. President, in our fight against terrorism, we cannot and should not ignore the need to fight against state terrorism. The Israeli regime is one of those who has an unparalleled, perverse record of using and employing terrorism as a means to further its aims. It was founded based on the activities conducted by such terrorist organizations as Haganah, Irgun, the Eshten Gang, and the like that aim to drive out the indigenous people of the land they sought to occupy. Since then, this regime has never stopped employing terrorism to terrify the inhabitants of the lands it occupies and the peoples of the region. And the assassination of innocent individuals has been its favorite tool to terrorize peoples through all phases of its existence. The continued occupation of other people's lands by this regime and its periodic aggressions to support it lies at the heart of the current situation in the region. There should be no doubt that such Israeli policies are the most important factor that creates space for such terrorist groups as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Jabhatun Nusra in the region. Finally, Mr. President, let me conclude by reiterating that Hezbollah is part and parcel of the Lebanese political life. It is a political party on its own and is represented in the Lebanese parliament and cabinet. Malignant rhetoric has and will never tarnish its image and contribution to the cause of the people of our region to resist continued aggression by the Israeli regime. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de la République islamique d'Iran pour sa déclaration. Je donne à présent la parole au représentant de l'Espagne.
Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président. Señor presidente, quería empezar agradeciendo a su país, al Chad y a su ministro de Asuntos Exteriores la organización de este debate temático sobre terrorismo y crimen transfronterizo y muy especialmente la iniciativa de presentar una importante y muy completa resolución, la primera sobre esta cuestión, cuyo contenido España comparte plenamente. También quiero trasladar nuestras profundas condolencias a Pakistán por las víctimas del atroz atentado terrorista en el colegio de Peshawar y trasladar a este país la solidaridad de España y su voluntad de seguir trabajando juntos para terminar con la violencia y la lacra del terrorismo. Me gustaría aquí, para empezar, destacar la referencia que esta mañana hizo Luxemburgo sobre las consecuencias que tienen estas formas de delito sobre los niños. Las tácticas terroristas tienen, evidentemente, un impacto desproporcionado sobre ellos. Y en este sentido, creo que sería pertinente condenar el reclutamiento y la utilización de niños en el contexto de los ataques suicidas, especialmente. Los niños asociados con grupos extremistas deberían ser tratados principalmente como víctimas. La detención de estos niños por su asociación, a veces presunción de asociación con grupos extremistas, es un fenómeno ciertamente preocupante porque les expone a tratamientos inhumanos y degradantes. Es importante que se respeten de forma muy cuidadosa las normas internacionales de justicia en administración de justicia para menores. Señor presidente, desgraciadamente, con demasiada frecuencia, el terrorismo nos está mostrando su carácter global y la necesidad de combatirlo a través de la cooperación internacional. Esta experiencia se percibe de modo aún más gráfico en la conexión que tiene con el crimen transfronterizo. En ella, la construcción de capacidades es especialmente importante porque es un tipo de delito que ataca de modo especial a las estructuras estatales, debilitando así al principal actor en la lucha contra el terrorismo. Además de ser el principal agente en primera línea en la lucha contra el terrorismo, el Estado es también un actor principal para garantizar los derechos humanos de la población y no renunciar al respeto de los mismos y al imperio de la ley en ningún momento en sus esfuerzos por atajar tanto el terrorismo como el crimen organizado. Por eso es esencial la calidad institucional del Estado, una calidad que le permita enfrentarse a los desafíos en el ámbito de la justicia penal con robustez e imponer, al mismo tiempo, el imperio de la ley contra unos ataques que no solo van contra la ley, sino también contra los agentes del orden encargados de hacerla valer. Incluso si los terroristas no practican directamente los delitos transfronterizos, sus conexiones son evidentes y se benefician a menudo de los réditos del crimen, de modo inmediato o a través de derechos de paso, exacciones o protección remunerada de los delincuentes. Como establece el informe de la nota de concepto que acompaña a la resolución, ese escenario permite a los terroristas sustituir al Estado en varias ocasiones y en varias de sus funciones. Señor presidente, desde el año 2012 España ha firmado diversos acuerdos bilaterales para combatir el crimen organizado, que incluyen la cooperación en materia de lucha contra el terrorismo. En los últimos años, a modo de ejemplo, hemos firmado acuerdos con Costa de Marfil, con Moldavia, Panamá, Uzbekistán, acuerdos que se han sumado a la red de acuerdos bilaterales de cooperación antiterrorista que mantiene España con varios países del norte de África y del Sahel. Pero para ir más allá del entorno bilateral, la Estrategia de Seguridad Nacional Española considera indispensable la cooperación en el ámbito multilateral y la considera un marco eficaz y legítimo para combatir el terrorismo y el crimen transfronterizo, incluyendo la prevención, el reforzamiento de capacidades y el adecuado tratamiento de las víctimas. Es un esfuerzo que tiene que ser incesante. Hace unos minutos, señor presidente, la policía española ha detenido a tres jóvenes residentes en España que se disponían a viajar para incorporarse en Siria al Estado Islámico. Es una acción diaria, es una acción solidaria y es una acción coordinada, lo que necesitamos para hacer frente al desafío que está sobre el que estamos hablando en el día de hoy. En el marco de Naciones Unidas, consideramos esencial mantener una cooperación continua y comprometida, por supuesto, en el marco de su estrategia global, con el CETEF, con el CTITF y con su centro contra el terrorismo. El secretario general adjunto Feldman esta mañana ha resumido los principales instrumentos que el directorio ejecutivo del Comité contra el Terrorismo, el CTITF o el Centro contra el Terrorismo, utilizan en un ámbito tan amplio como los talibán, Al-Qaeda, el Sahel y otras regiones del África o del Asia Central. Y también se ha referido el señor Feldman al papel de la Oficina de Naciones Unidas para la Droga y el Delito, oficina con la que España el año pasado ha firmado un memorándum de entendimiento para prestar asistencia técnica en los proyectos de prevención de terrorismo internacional y combatir la corrupción, el tráfico de drogas y el crimen nacional organizado. La Unión Europea, en una intervención que España suscribe plenamente, ha descrito sus principales actuaciones en la lucha contra el crimen transfronterizo. Aquí me voy a limitar, por supuesto, a subrayar que España está participando muy directamente en la puesta en práctica de su programa antiterrorista para el Sahel, en el proyecto Sahel Occidental, y en la misión civil del Sahel, EUCAP, dedicada a reforzar las capacidades de Níger en la lucha contra el terrorismo y el crimen organizado. En el ámbito de esta resolución es necesario también reforzar la cooperación, especialmente con el continente africano. España lo está haciendo en proyectos con la Unión Africana y el Centro Africano para el Estudio y la Investigación contra el Terrorismo para construir la llamada capacidad continental para prevenir y combatir el terrorismo, un proyecto al que hemos dedicado más de $1 millón, o con el proyecto Serendi en Somalia para la rehabilitación de antiguos combatientes de Al-Shabaab. También estamos dedicando una línea financiera de €1 millón a este proyecto concreto. Concluyo, señor presidente. El terrorismo es un fenómeno delictivo que requiere una acción a largo plazo, una atención constante, y los Estados se enfrentan al desafío de tener que ser más rápidos que los terroristas y los criminales a la hora de utilizar los adelantos tecnológicos para crear redes de cooperación más efectivas que las que creen ellos. Iniciativas como la presentada hoy por Chad o la resolución recién aprobada por este Consejo demuestra la necesidad de actualizar constantemente nuestra respuesta y de adaptarla de forma flexible a las nuevas formas de terrorismo, a un terrorismo que se regenera y que se presenta en nuevas y muy diversas formas. Por ello, señor presidente, le felicito por su iniciativa de su país y le traslado mi agradecimiento a la vez que a los miembros de este Consejo. Muchísimas gracias.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Espagne pour sa déclaration. Je donne à présent la parole au représentant de l'Italie.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Et au nom de ma délégation, je voudrais remercier la présidence du Tchad pour l'organisation de ce débat au Conseil de sécurité qui arrive dans le moment le plus approprié. Mr. President, Italy fully aligns itself with the statement delivered by the European Union and would like to add a few remarks in the national capacity. The recent attacks in Pakistan and Yemen are yet another terrible reminder of how terrorism threatens international peace and security. We are deeply concerned by the growing ties between terrorism and the organized crime phenomena, from trafficking in human beings, drugs, and arms to kidnappings. Criminal associations and some terrorist groups use the same illegal instruments and channels, starting with corruption. This threat transcends the border of individual states and requires a multidimensional approach, and not only the military option, that addresses the root causes. We thus need to strengthen government institutions, rule of law, governance, border control, arms control, control of financial flows. We also need to promote socioeconomic development, youthful employment, respect for human rights, and the fight against poverty and corruption. Mr. President, we reiterate the need for a comprehensive, coordinated strategy at the global and regional levels. For it to be applied, individual states, the United Nations, regional and sub-regional organizations, and civil society must all work together. At the same time, it is fundamental to concretely apply international measures aimed at preventing and reducing terrorism and criminal activities. Starting with the full implementation of the Palermo Convention and its protocols, particularly United Nations protocols against trafficking in migrants by land, sea, and air. This is the only legal universal instrument dedicated to this crime. It seeks to prevent and counter trafficking in migrants, protect their rights, and strengthen cooperation between member states. This commitment was reinforced during the 69th United Nations General Assembly in the Omnibus Resolution on Organized Crime, on which Italy was the main sponsor again this year. It is in this perspective that we recall the support our country lent to the resolution on countering organization crimes proposed by the African Union and approved yesterday. Mr. President, my country has expressed its commitment to fighting the terrorist threat by contributing to the birth of the Global Counter-Terrorism Forum, participating in the main international and regional initiative, and fully implementing the sanction regimes and Security Council Resolution 2170 and 2178. Italy is also engaged in countering ISIL, Daesh in Libya, Syria, and Iraq. We encourage dialogue and cooperation between countries of different culture and religious tradition on countering terrorism, as such also believe that combating terrorism, violent extremism, and criminality cannot be independent of efforts to solve political and institutional crises in the attempt to bring peace to countries torn apart by violent conflicts and to improve socioeconomic conditions in less developed regions. In West Africa and Sahel, Italy has implemented complete sets of programs in the fields of rule of law, institution building, and training. Teams of Italian officers have supported projects to build the capacity of a law enforcement agency in Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Sierra Leone, Senegal, and Nigeria. Italy has also promoted customized policy training programs on border control technique and trained African officials at border posting in Italy. With regard to initiative to break up the marriage of convenience between criminal networks and terrorist organizations, the Italian Anti-Mafia Bureau signed a memorandum of understanding with its Nigerian partner on countering trafficking in human beings and the related illegal financial incomes. All these technical assistance programs are encompassed in the broader framework of development cooperation activity that Italy continues to carry on in several countries of West Africa and the Sahel region. New joint initiatives are focused on the fight against trafficking in migrants in all its aspects. Mr. President, today's debate rightly focuses on connection between countering organized crime and countering terrorism. Its outcomes can provide a useful instrument for better coordinating the initiative that the international community is called on to enact to address all forms of terrorism and transnational crime. Italy will continue to contribute to this initiative with strong commitment. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Italie pour sa déclaration. Je donne à présent la parole au représentant du Sénégal.
Monsieur le Président, permettez-moi à l'entame de cet exercice solennel de vous exprimer tout le plaisir qui m'anime de vous voir assumer et avec autant de brio les hautes et estimées charges de président du Conseil de sécurité des Nations Unies et de vous réaffirmer à cette occasion le soutien de la délégation sénégalaise. Le choix du thème qui nous réunit ce jour, à savoir menace à la paix et à la sécurité internationale, terrorisme et criminalité transnationale organisée, au-delà de son acuité liée à une brûlante actualité, mérite toute notre attention en raison de la nature particulièrement nocive de ces deux phénomènes qui transcendent les frontières. En effet, si le terrorisme se nourrit inexorablement du fanatisme et de convictions idéologiques erronées, la criminalité transnationale organisée fait le lit d'activités mafieuses, participant ainsi à cette entreprise cynique de déstabilisation des États et subséquemment d'annihilation des sociétés humaines. Je voudrais à ce stade également saluer la pertinence et la qualité des présentations faites ce matin par M. Jeffrey Feltman, secrétaire général adjoint chargé des affaires politiques, ainsi que par l'ambassadeur Toto Antonio, représentant permanent de l'Union africaine auprès des Nations unies. Monsieur le Président, faudrait-il rappeler également que le terrorisme, par ses fondements, ses objectifs et ses manifestations, a déjà causé à la communauté internationale d'indicibles souffrances, dont la dernière en date est l'attentat criminel et odieux de Peshawar au Pakistan, que notre pays a condamné avec la dernière énergie. Il importe sous ce rapport de souligner, pour s'en féliciter, l'adoption de la résolution 68/276 de l'Assemblée générale relative à l'examen de la stratégie antiterroriste mondiale des Nations unies et de la pertinence de ces quatre piliers qui en constituent l'ossature principale. Aussi faudrait-il se féliciter de l'adoption ce matin par votre auguste Assemblée de la résolution 2195, la première du genre, sous l'égide de votre pays, sur la question qui nous réunit donc ce jour. Cet élan unanime dans la continuité de la lutte contre le terrorisme a ainsi amené les organisations terroristes à recourir à d'autres sources de financement, dont la criminalité transnationale organisée. Par ses effets néfastes au triple plan sécuritaire, économique et sociétal, ce fléau sape gravement les fondements sur lesquels reposent nos États. C'est ainsi le lieu de se féliciter de l'action résolue de la communauté internationale en réaction à la criminalité transnationale organisée. Celle-ci s'est traduite par la consolidation du cadre normatif international avec l'adoption de la Convention des Nations Unies contre le trafic illicite de stupéfiants et de substances psychotropes, ainsi que la Convention de Palerme et de ses trois protocoles additionnels, mais aussi le renforcement des capacités opérationnelles des États, illustré entre autres par l'initiative de la côte ouest africaine qui, en partenariat avec le département des opérations de maintien de la paix, accompagne depuis 2009 les pays de la sous-région ouest africaine dans la lutte contre le trafic de drogue. Monsieur le Président, ainsi qu'il résulte de l'examen des divers rapports soumis au Conseil de sécurité, le terrorisme s'accommode à bien des égards de la criminalité transnationale organisée. À cet égard, le commerce illicite de charbon par la milice Al-Shabaab en Somalie, la saisie de camions-citernes de pétrole par l'État islamique ou le front Al-Nusra, le trafic de stupéfiants par les talibans ou encore les enlèvements suivis de demandes de paiement de rançon menés par plusieurs groupes terroristes dont Boko Haram et Al-Qaïda illustrent éloquemment ce constat. Il me plaît de rappeler que le Sénégal appuie l'appel lancé par le Conseil de sécurité dans sa résolution 2133 adoptée le 27 janvier 2014, demandant aux États de réfléchir aux moyens d'empêcher les terroristes de commettre des enlèvements ou de profiter directement ou indirectement de rançons et de faire en sorte que les otages soient libérés sains et saufs. Qu'il me soit permis à ce sujet de condamner vigoureusement les nombreuses exactions des groupes terroristes dans le monde, particulièrement ceux proliférant dans le continent africain, où des groupes narco-terroristes cherchent à installer des sanctuaires du terrorisme international. C'est tout le sens qu'il faut accorder à la tenue le 15 et 16 décembre 2014 à Dakar du Forum international sur la paix et la sécurité en Afrique, dont la finalité est d'aboutir à la formulation de propositions concrètes à la hauteur des défis sécuritaires tels que le terrorisme, le crime organisé et le trafic humain et d'armes. Dans le même sillage, me plaît-il de souligner la tenue à Nouakchott le 18 décembre 2014 du premier sommet des pays participant au processus sur le renforcement de la coopération sécuritaire et l'opérationnalisation de l'architecture africaine de paix et de sécurité dans la région sahélo-saharienne, dont les résultats hautement appréciables démontrent à souhait la haute priorité que constitue pour le continent africain la question essentielle de la lutte contre le terrorisme entrant dans le cadre d'une stratégie globale visant à assurer la paix et la sécurité, condition sine qua non du développement. Monsieur le Président, ne nous y trompons pas. Cette stratégie de lutte contre le terrorisme et la criminalité transnationale organisée devrait, au risque d'être inefficace, être inclusive et participative. Elle devrait en effet amener les États et les populations dans un élan solidaire à s'approprier la cause de la lutte contre ces deux fléaux en suscitant un véritable éveil des consciences, particulièrement chez les jeunes. D'où l'intérêt de promouvoir une véritable culture de la paix, vecteur indispensable au dialogue des civilisations et des peuples. Monsieur le Président, il apparaît à la lumière de ce qui précède que la lutte contre le terrorisme et la criminalité transnationale organisée, quoique résultant de la responsabilité principale des États, mérite d'être inscrite au cœur des activités de maintien de la paix et d'être articulée autour d'une véritable stratégie préventive. Je voudrais en définitive exprimer la volonté indéfectible du Sénégal d'œuvrer de concert avec les autres acteurs à l'édification de sociétés libérées du joug du terrorisme et de la criminalité transnationale organisée, parce que fondée au préalable sur les idéaux de paix et de justice et orientée vers le développement durable. Je vous remercie.
Je remercie le représentant du Sénégal pour sa déclaration. Je donne à présent la parole au représentant de la Tunisie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to thank Chad Initiative for organizing this important debate on threats to international peace and security, terrorism and cross-border crime. I wish also to thank the Presidency of Security Council for the concept note prepared for the purpose of this debate, which we share most of its views and ideas. In fact, there is more complex link between transnational organized crime and terrorism, which poses in turn a significant threat on regional and international peace and security. This trend is becoming clearer, notably in Africa, with the threat expanding from the Sahel through its neighboring regions. The terrorist groups are increasingly turning back in the region to the existing informal trade routes and black and illicit markets, including for the exchange of arms and drug trafficking, to generate more funds and bolster their capacities and geographic reach, as it is stated in various UN and AU reports. Mr. President, as terrorism and transnational organized crime transcend national boundaries, the effective prevention and combating of these threats require renewed and firm commitment primarily at the national level. In this context, Tunisia has ratified the relevant international conventions, including 14th International Instrument Against Terrorism, the UN Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime of 2000, and the Protocols hereto, and the UN Convention Against Corruption of 2003. A new draft anti-terrorism law is under consideration by the legislative body. This draft incriminates acts of support, incitement, training, recruitment, glorification, attempt, and complicity in terrorist acts. In the same vein, an anti-terrorism judicial poll has been inaugurated on the 16th of December 2014, bringing together investigating judges, the indictment division, and the prosecutor, as well as judges who have already been tasked with terrorism cases. On the security level, a national counterterrorism and organized crime poll has been also put in place with the aim of addressing this phenomenon based on a comprehensive security approach. Tunisia has additionally concluded a number of bilateral agreements on counterterrorism cooperation, including with neighboring states. These bilateral agreements have focused in particular on assessing terrorist threats, on eliminating sources of terrorist funding and obtaining available information on terrorist plans. It is also working on the development of national electronic ID documents and biometric passports by 2016. Moreover, we are still strengthening our regional cooperation with the Council of Arab Ministers of Interior, as well as through cooperation with the relevant institutions, including the UN counterterrorism entities. I would like, in this regard, to seize this opportunity to express my country's gratitude for the level of cooperation with the UN counterterrorism entities, particularly with UNODC and CTED, with the view of further strengthening our national legislations and judicial system to address the complex related challenges. Mr. President, by their very nature, complex links and dynamics and seriousness of their threats, countering transnational organized crime and terrorism in the affected regions, including in Africa, require efficient and effective national measures, but also concerted actions by countries of the region, as well as an enhanced international cooperation of the international community as a whole, building on the principle of national ownership. Renewed international action is indeed required to ensure that terrorist groups do not receive any form of financial or material support. For instance, there are promising African-led initiatives, as the Nouakchott process for on the enhancement of security cooperation and the operationalization of the African peace and security architecture in the Sahel. Sahara region, the African Mechanism for Police Cooperation, AFRIPOL, and the Tripoli Plan of Action of 2012, which demonstrate the full commitment of African countries to work closely together to address the challenges facing the region. Those initiatives need to be further supported by international partners, as highlighted by the communique of the Peace and Security Council of the African Union in a recent meeting held on the 2nd of September 2014 on the prevention and combating of terrorism and violent extremism in Africa. Efforts need also to be redoubled with a view of reinforcing the capacities of national authorities of the region to effectively police and control their borders, curb illicit arms and goods, and deny terrorists safe havens, as well as to strengthen the national judicial systems to prevent and prosecute effectively terrorists benefiting from transnational crime. There should be a well further assistance to the countries of the region with the view of helping them in devising comprehensive and integrated national strategies to counter terrorism, transnational organized crime, and illicit trafficking, including mechanism of their implementation. This is indeed a shared responsibility for the sake of common interest. Finally, we consider that the United Nations is at the heart of international cooperation against terrorism and the transnational organized crime. We are thus looking forward to the report of the Secretary General, as mandated by the resolution of today, and particularly its recommendation to reduce the negative impacts of terrorists benefiting from transnational organized crime. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de la Tunisie pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de l'Ouganda.
Mr. President, Uganda profoundly appreciates Chad's Minister for Foreign Affairs presiding over this relevant open debate. This, in addition to Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, the United Nations Undersecretary for Political Affairs statement, and indeed that of His Excellency, Ambassador Tete Antonio, on behalf of the African Union, which we as Uganda fully subscribes to. Mr. President, the participation in this open debate of the foreign ministers of Nigeria, Luxembourg, Argentina, and Chile's Director General for Foreign Policy illustrates its crucial nature. Uganda once again presents its condolences towards Pakistan, Nigeria, Kenya, and Australia for the senseless terrorist killings that they have experienced this month. This in addition to the recent victims of the rabid ISIS. Mr. President, Uganda is committed to the fight against terror within our borders and the region. And Uganda thanks you for a theme well selected. For with Africa, it has an added poignant relevance, bearing in mind the worrying contemporary situation on our continent. Mr. President, relevant because currently at least 20 African countries are afflicted by terrorism. In the main, these being in the Horn, Eastern, and Central Africa. This alongside the Sahel and the western and northern parts of our continent. Additionally, Africa most unfortunately hosts at least 24 United States State Department listed terrorist organizations. Mr. President, the experience of organized, systematized terror and terrorism is not new to the African continent. It was clearly manifest in the transatlantic and trans-Sahara slave trades, and in addition to the equally nefarious East African slave trade. This form of systematized and organized terror and terrorism affected the lives of millions of our people and resulted in two acute societal dislocations whose negative consequences still afflict us today. Mr. President, if we are to sincerely appreciate the reasons as to why terrorism is prevalent in Africa, then it would be insincere if we ignored the legacy of colonialism on this continent. Four of the 20 or so African countries that are affected by terrorism, at least half are landlocked. And in the main, landlocked African countries tend to be the most underdeveloped and with the lowest global human development indices. In part, this being due to the extremely high cost of trade they routinely encounter. That is when legitimately trading within themselves or when engaged in regional cross-border trade, or indeed that of the broader international type. Mr. President, the Balkanization of the African continent within the context of its having fragile states and political structures are other factors that fuel the unfortunate thriving of terrorism in Africa. Indeed, this unhealthy cocktail of being Balkanized, landlocked, poor, and with stateless geopolitical entities unfortunately encourages opportunistic terror groups and with an enabling environment to thrive in. Coming in mind here, amongst others, being terror groups as the Allied Democratic Front, the Lord's Resistance Army, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, and Al-Shabaab. Mr. President, terrorism-driven intra- and cross-border trade is devastating our continent. Take the example of the elephant population of Garamba National Park in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. In the 1970s, it was estimated that there were up to 20,000 elephants in number, roaming freely in this vast, exceedingly beautiful nature reserve. However, today, 40 years later, more than 90% of these animals have been indiscriminately slaughtered for illicit trading, namely, but not only, by the Lord's Resistance Army and other criminal networks. Indeed, this is a devastating loss, not only to the DRC, but to all humanity. Mr. President, for this august body, together with the broader international community, to definitively solve the menacing challenges of terrorism in Africa, we require to seriously consider providing the following interventions. Support the ongoing regional integration efforts, as for instance with the East African Community, the SADC, ECOWAS, amongst others. For these bodies would facilitate the required process of creating viable states, economies, and regional legitimate trade. Indeed, the international community requires to assist these efforts towards regional integration through the supporting of the construction of our physical infrastructure as roads, rail and air and airports, rail transport and airports. Such intervention would enable the blossoming of legitimate internal, regional, cross-border, and broader international trade, hence supplanting the terror-driven illicit trade. The political will to create viable state structures through well-conceptualized out Marshall plans in situations of weak states or statelessness, countries as, for instance, in Somalia, Libya, South Sudan, and Central African Republic, is also required. There is also need for the international community to ensure that the illegitimate trade, as in poaching, poached commodities, as ivory, and illegally mined minerals, is also severely constrained. Mr. President, all this requires to be done in an enlightened self-interest spirit. For us, the unfortunate examples of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and currently ISIS, clearly illustrates to us all, we can ignore the growing terror threats in Africa at our own peril. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Ouganda pour sa déclaration. Je donne maintenant la parole au représentant du Bangladesh.
Mr. President, let me join my colleagues in thanking you for organizing this open debate. Reckoning acts of terrorism has posed one of the greatest threats to international peace and security in recent years. Millions of people, including women and children, have become innocent victims of terror in our times. We strongly condemn the unimaginably barbaric act of terrorism targeting innocent school children in Pakistan this week that claimed 141 innocent lives, mostly children. Such senseless, despicable acts of terror, as our Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina rightly observed, only enhance our resolve to fight this scourge unitedly with stronger commitment and with sincerity. Mr. President, effective countering of terrorism is a collaborative endeavor. Because of the advent of technology, terrorism and terrorist threats continue to evolve and manifest themselves differently in different parts of the world. Responses to terrorism need to reflect this reality and be able to adapt constantly. International efforts to combat terrorism must involve addressing the root causes of terrorism. In identifying the root causes of terrorism, it should not be associated with any religion, nationality, civilization, or ethnic group. Addressing marginalization, poverty, social exclusion, racial, cultural, and religious discrimination must be part of countering strategies of terrorism. It also needs to be recognized that terrorism may not be defeated solely by corrective measures. We have to engage self-diplomacy and impart awareness, quality education, eliminate inequalities, and work with marginalized groups of society as an effective strategy. Similarly, inculcating tolerance, promoting culture of peace and dialogue among civilizations, interfaith and intercultural understanding are among the most important pathways to promote cooperation among societies and nations and to successfully combat terrorism. To have sustainable long-term peace and stability, Bangladesh has been promoting a culture of peace, have been trying to inculcate a mindset of tolerance, a mindset of love and respect for others, irrespective of ethnicity, culture, caste, religion, or color, away from hatred and intolerance. This cannot be done only by government. All institutions and organizations, in particular media, teachers, community leaders, schools, parents, authors, writers, poets, singers, NGO, civil society and religious leaders have to take the lead to create a mindset of tolerance and understanding. Mr. President, the nexus between terrorist networks, non-state actors, and transnational criminals pose newer challenges to state apparatus and the traditional lines of national defense. They compel us to devise more innovative, well-coordinated and near impenetrable strategies to ensure cross-border controls against illicit movement of terrorists and criminals and transport of weapons, ammunition, and their means of production and delivery. To be sure, the nexus between terrorists and criminals has greatly been facilitated by the advent and misuse of information technology and easy access to weapons. The internet has become a fertile breeding ground of terrorist activities. Subversive use of internet must be identified and obstructed. Financing of terrorism through the web must be halted, and online nexus of terrorist and other organized criminal activities, including through the use of social media, must be dismantled. Mr. President, Bangladesh's position on terrorism is consistent. We denounce terrorism in all its forms and manifestations, no matter why, how, or where it is carried out. Bangladesh maintains a policy of zero tolerance towards all forms of terrorism, including financing of terrorism, radicalization, and violent extremism, both nationally and internationally. Bangladesh, as a matter of principle, does not allow its territory to be used by any terrorist individual, group, or entity against any state or people. We have taken commendable initiatives to end cross-border crimes and terrorism, and also cross-border financing of terrorism and extremism. In addition, it is imperative to stop cross-border supply of illegal weapons and ammunition. To reduce such cross-border illegal supply of weapons to terrorist or terrorist network, it is necessary for weapons producers to correctly identify each of their production lot and weapons and ammunition. And we may recommend the media to name the producers of killer weapons while reporting terrorist acts or killing. Bangladesh also maintains a strong legal, regulatory, and institutional regime, including through the enactment of Anti-Terrorism Act, Prevention of Money Laundering Act, and statutory orders, and through the implementation of UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy and the Security Council resolutions on combating terrorism and financing of terrorism, including Resolution 1267, 1373, 1540, and 2178, and their successor resolutions. Bangladesh believes that all national, regional, and international actions against terrorism must be in conformity with relevant international human rights and humanitarian laws. We are committed to working closely with the UN counterterrorism bodies and its international partners, including at regional levels, towards greater international cooperation for information sharing and capacity building to address terrorist threats to peace and security. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de Bangladesh pour sa déclaration. Je donne la parole au représentant de l'Ukraine.
Mr. President, first of all, I would like to thank you for organizing this thematic debate on the terrorism and cross-border crime, which comes at such a critical and challenging time. As Ukraine welcomes the adoption of the resolution on the linkages between transnational and organized crime and terrorism today, unfortunately, almost every day we learn with the deep sorrow of the new victims of the terrorist attacks which occur in all corners of the world. This world's evil can be eliminated only through consolidated and decisive measures taken by international community. Ukraine is deeply concerned about the activity of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant al-Nusra Front and other terrorist entities associated with al-Qaeda and the negative impact of the present violent extremist ideology and threats they are posing to the stability of the entire region. Ukraine condemns the terrorist attacks committed by Boko Haram in Nigeria, causing hundreds of deaths and injuries. And taking this opportunity, I would like to express my nation's condolences to the victims of the latest terrorist attacks in Nigeria and Pakistan. Mr. President, Ukraine shares the Security Council's position that the terrorism in all forms and manifestations constitutes one of the most serious threats to the international peace and stability, and that any acts of terrorism are criminal and unjustifiable regardless of their motivations, whenever and whatsoever committed. Ukraine supports central role of the United Nations in the global efforts aimed at suppressing international terrorism, as well as in promoting international cooperation in this field. The global counterterrorism strategy continues to be central in addressing the evolving trends of the terrorist phenomenon in an integrated and balanced way. Ukraine is a party to about 20 multilateral conventions and protocols in the field of counterterrorism. The government of Ukraine is actively engaged in counterterrorism cooperation with many international and regional organizations, including United Nations, OSCE, Council of Europe, and Financial Action Task Force on Money Laundering, as well as the Organization of the Democracy and Economic Development, GUAM. Mr. President, unfortunately, since recently, the problem of terrorism has become pertaining to my country as well. As you may know, the government of Ukraine has been conducting counterterrorism operation in the east of Ukraine since the last March. It's simply incredible that terrorism has emerged in the country where the terrorist threat was assessed by the UN experts as low just a few months before the occupation of Crimea by the Russian Federation and the establishment of the terrorist organizations DNR and LNR. As it turned out, foreign factors might encourage this evil to grow rapidly. The situation in the world in general, and in my country in particular, has shown that the international community must redouble its efforts in the fight against terror. Mr. President, Ukraine is extremely concerned with the facts of flagrant violations of the international counterterrorism treaties by particular states. The Russian Federation continues to break its international obligations on terrorism. In particular, Russia has completely neglected its obligations under the International Convention on the Suppression of the Financing of Terrorism of 1999 and the International Convention for the Suppression of Terrorist Bombing of 1997. As the situation in Ukraine has clearly shown, terrorism can be used as a hidden aggression against sovereign state. We call upon the international community to continue to take decisive actions aimed at combating state-sponsored terrorism against the sovereignty and territorial integrity of its members. Mr. President, without the adherence of international treaties and genuine cooperation by all states' parties, any international counterterrorism efforts, including those by the Security Council, shall be vain. On our part, I would like to underline once again that Ukraine will remain committed to cooperation on the international, regional, and sub-regional level in order to make the worldwide environment completely intolerable towards the terrorism and its supporters. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Ukraine pour sa déclaration. La délégation de la Fédération de Russie voudrait répliquer. Je lui donne encore la parole.
Благодарю, господин председатель. Сегодняшняя дискуссия в очередной раз показала, что украинские коллеги по-прежнему видят террористов, угрозы терроризма и трансграничной организованной преступности совсем не там, где другие члены международного сообщества. Полагаем, что злоупотребление властями Украины темой сегодняшнего заседания подрывает шансы на восстановление единства украинского общества. Вновь призываем украинскую делегацию задуматься над этим. И вместо озвучивания в Совете пропагандистских штампов направить усилия на конструктивный вклад в дискуссию по крайне актуальной сегодня теме борьбы с терроризмом и его связи с трансграничной организованной преступностью. Благодарю, господин председатель.
Je remercie le représentant de la Fédération de Russie. Il n'y a plus d'orateur inscrit sur la liste. Le Conseil de sécurité a ainsi achevé la phase actuelle de l'examen de la question inscrite à son ordre du jour. La séance est levée.